News for Gamers, Internet's Now radio program proudly presents...
The N4G Podcast!
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance, Gambit's Con. You've got to wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
Yeah, that's cool.
We should have a cluck off.
That's terrible. Hey, man. Shut the cluck up.
Welcome to another week, News for Gamers Podcast Radio, for the week of June 23rd, 2008. And we have a studio with four people in it this week, returning from his hiatus of being out and about in the wilderness, is the Wombat, Ryan Womboat.
You can't tell, but I have a giant beard and a hat made entirely of raccoon skin.
Sweet. We gotta get the pictures up.
We do.
We gotta do the pictures this week. Because you weren't here last week.
Okay, if we're taking pictures, I don't actually have a giant beard and a hat made of entirely of raccoon skin.
But he has a stash and a mullet.
Yeah, I don't have that either.
Damn it. Also with us this week, we have Killer Wolverine, Justin Testa, who still thinks his Panthers are going to win because he's wearing the jersey.
They are. He's coming back better.
And you're going to lose to the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, you wish. My quarterback is the shiznit now.
That's what you
he's
think.
He's got a superimposed arm. He's got, like, robotic elbow.
You see, you don't understand that my quarterback cost $65 million for a reason.
Well, he better live up to that. He's starting the entire season.
He's going to live up to it 28 to nothing. Yeah. Oh, snap.
Oh, is that your prediction for
that's
when we battle?
Prediction. Okay, right. I'll give you three.
Oh, that's generous. Thank you so much.
25-point spread, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you treat us like we're a shitty team. We've been to the Super Bowl.
So have you. Actually, we have three rings. How many do you have?
We're working on that.
Yeah,
we'll get
that's what
there.
I thought.
We'll get there.
Well, you know something? I've never been to the Super Bowl.
Well, you should go. Okay. You've probably never even watched the Super Bowl, have you?
I watched it a couple times for the commercials.
Yeah. And they've been disappointing as of late.
Yeah.
Typical yep. Gambus Con. And as you can hear, Gambus Con's in the studio. I segged.
Nice.
What's up? How's it going, everybody?
Good. Gambus How are Con you?
In the hizzle.
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Wolverine?
I'm hungry.
He's You're still
hungry.
Here.
I'm hungry.
He's still here yeah. post Metal Gear.
Yes.
You finished Metal Gear.
I did finish Metal Gear.
You saw the ending.
Yes, I did.
Metal Gear.
I have a question. Did he say the word Metal Gear through the whole game? I don't remember.
Yeah, he did.
So he did.
He,
say
he
it?
Did, and like I said, I'm not even through the first act yet, and he's already said it once.
That was a long time ago for
yeah.
me.
Because when Otacon first brings out the Mark II
yeah.
or whatever,
yeah.
he's like, just like Metal Gear Rex. And he's
Metal
like, Metal Gear.
Gear.
Sweet. Because yeah. he didn't say it much through the whole game, but he does.
Metal Gear.
So there you go. But into the regular. I'm totally off today.
Man, you just like.
I have nothing.
All over the place.
I'm all
you
over the place.
You didn't go in order with people.
Yeah, we're like zigzagging.
I'm going to zigzag around the room because I'm still confused. But we're going to do fondling console, and then I'll go around backwards. So
nice.
I'll start with Gambus Con. You said you weren't playing much.
Yeah, this week has been kind of dry, if you will.
I thought you were moist earlier. That's what you told us.
Oh, God.
No comment, okay?
See, if we had sound effects, if we had the budget for sound effects on this show, this is where the rim shot would come in.
Or the crickets chirping, one of the other ones.
Yeah, one of the two.
Well, let's see here. I played Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots, and I completed it.
Congratulations.
And your final verdict?
My final verdict is...
Here it comes.
It's a masterpiece of gaming, storytelling. Here's the thing. A lot of people on the internet...
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. Well, some people are like, oh, this game doesn't know if it wants to be a game or a movie, you know? Get these movie scenes out of my game or whatnot.
Hey, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter.
Yeah, exactly. It's like peanut butter and chocolate. It's good, you know? It's tasty. And if you take the bread and if you put it in the toaster, it's even better because it's peanut butter and jelly with toast.
What happened to the chocolate? I'm and confused.
Chocolate. Put chocolate in there, too, so it'd be peanut butter and jelly and chocolate.
You've definitely been playing Metal Gear too much because you confused me.
Yeah. That's a Metal Gear sandwich right there. But here's my opinion.
Because it's better than a Jill sandwich, right?
Metal Gear isn't like, you know, going between game and movie. I think it's a fusion. It's a fusion of game and movie.
I will say I've long held the position, both on the podcast and off of it, that cutscenes are – that overly long cutscenes are annoying to me. The position has not changed, but I will say that Metal Gear's cutscenes are the transition between gameplay and cutscene is amazing to me.
Yes.
Like when it comes out of a cutscene and it's right into playing the game, it's so seamless that it's very, very well done. And the one thing I will say about the Metal Gear cutscenes so far – is that there have been some instances, but not a whole lot of instances where I'm watching something in a cutscene that I would like to be actually playing. So I'll give them a plus for that.
Yeah.
So like Devil May Cry, they're doing cutscenes where, you know, the guy's jumping around cutting stuff, and you know, I'd much rather be jumping around cutting stuff than watching some guy do it. But there hasn't been a whole lot of that so far.
Yeah, most of the movie scenes in Metal Gear are basically
it's dialogue.
Dialogue where two people are just standing talking to each other.
Right.
And it's like...
Well, there are a couple.
Yeah.
There are a couple that you'll be like, damn, I wish that was me doing that. There are a couple of those.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
There's one in particular that I was like, damn, I wish I could be doing that.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, anyways, I didn't mean to interrupt your fondling. I just wanted to get that out there.
Oh, okay. Let me see what else. Another complaint that a lot of people have been saying... is they think that the dialogue is cheesy, and I agree. A lot of the dialogue is cheesy in the game, and then a lot of people say it's almost like Japanese anime level dialogue. And I can almost agree. Melodramatic. But at the same time, I think it's the overall story that's the genius part of it. Not necessarily the actual lines themselves, but how everything comes together.
See, I disagree with you, as I said in my review, that I think that this Metal Gear is the best written Metal Gear.
It is the best written Metal Gear.
And the cutscenes never get boring because you're so interested in what they're saying.
Yeah.
It's not like the past games where they go into this cutscene and they give you a 45-minute explanation as to why oil cans are bad.
Right. You know,
which is like old Metal Gears. And this one, they don't. They just get to the point. Granted, it's a long point.
Yeah.
But they get to it. And it's comprehensible. It's not like, oh my God, what the hell did you just say? I watched a 30-minute cutscene. I have no idea what the hell you just
said. Right.
Yeah.
And I felt that through the whole game. Like, it felt like it all flowed together, which was good to me.
Yeah, it does. I agree with your point at the same time. I mean, there are certain lines in the game and certain dialogue situations that are, you know,
right,
cheesy.
Well, and but that's kind of every Metal Gear has had those.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's one of those things where you got to go into if you've played any of the other ones, you got to go into it expecting that stuff. Like you got to, I imagine that for some people who haven't played Metal Gear before, like who this is their first one, I imagine that a lot of them are probably getting irritated at the whole Solid Snake repeating everything as a question thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's, right, he's always done that, so if you've played the other games, then you're used to it by now. But, like, the whole – somebody would be like, we've got to get here and shut down – I'm just making something up. We got to get here and shut down this reactor. And then, we got to get there and shut down that reactor? Like, you get used to that after a while. So I imagine it's kind of a shock for people who've never played a Metal Gear before. They're probably not used to dialogue like that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, a lot of the people that I've heard talk about the dialogue and everything as being melodramatic or kind of cheesy, campy, this is their first Metal Gear game. And they're used to the cold, calculated Tom Clancy dialogue from, you know, straight up, completely serious games.
Right.
You know.
There ain't nothing serious about a monkey in a diaper smoking a cigarette.
Got that right.
Drinking energy drinks.
Not a damn thing.
Yeah.
Or a guy crapping himself in a metal barrel.
Yeah.
Nothing. Akiba.
Akiba. Man, he's a cool character. I like Akiba. Indeed. I think he's my favorite. He's probably my favorite character besides the hero characters. He's probably my favorite character because he's cool.
He's pimping.
Yeah.
So what else you been playing? I'm sure Metal Gear will turn around some more. But
yeah, Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
I only played a couple other games. Let me see here. I played some Luminous. The puzzle game?
Drop block.
Yeah, I actually downloaded what's it called? It's called the Tokyo DJ Music Pack.
Only on Luminous.
Yeah, I downloaded that and I was playing it and it's got some good stuff. Does any of you have Luminous?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Did you download the Heavenly Star song? It's free. It's a free song.
Anything that's free on there, I downloaded. I don't know if I've played it, but
yeah. Well, it's a pretty cool song. Well, anyway, the Tokyo DJ pack actually has a remix of it. So, I mean, if you haven't heard it already, I mean,
no, wait a minute. Is this a DJ game or a puzzle game? What the hell?
Well, I mean, it's I think it's like five or six tracks from like several Japanese DJs that have put a song into Luminous. That's what the pack basically signifies.
But isn't add-ons usually add gameplay?
Well, there's
not much you can do with Luminous.
It made me play the game more.
That's because you like techno.
Well,
though.
You know the point of Luminous too. When you complete a level, I think is that you unlock different backgrounds and different tracks. I thought you knew that.
I know that. I'm being facetious here.
Yes, you
I'm
are.
I'm playing devil's advocate over here asking a question.
Oh. Well, it wasn't written clearly on your forehead, so I couldn't
hold
tell.
On a minute. I'll get one of those big red signs. Bleep, bleep, sarcasm.
Yeah.
My bad. I just haven't talked in a while, so I thought I'd put my two cents in.
You know, I just
come to expect that of you. Though.
He's like, he's got a little ticker next to him that tells when he has to speak.
Oh,
I get
talk.
Shocked, like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck. All right.
Yeah. I just figured that buying new song packs for Luminous is not much different than buying new song packs for Guitar Hero.
Now, see,
or
that's entirely
Rock Band.
Wrong because in Guitar Hero, you actually get to play the songs.
Yeah.
There's gameplay elements to those. Mm-hmm. So don't try to bring your propaganda in here.
Wow, hey, man, none of it.
I'll bring my propaganda whenever I want to. Okay?
A new Guitar Hero track is like a new level. What's a new song in Luminous? A different to flip blocks to?
It's a new level.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. Do the blocks change?
Yes, they do.
What do they change to?
Circles. Different blocks.
Different colored circles?
Yeah, they change into different blocks.
And the background's different.
And the backgrounds are completely different.
So it's entirely visual.
I've never played this game, so I don't know.
You never played Luminous?
No.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm giving him shit, but it is a good game. It's a good
hard.
Puzzle game.
It's
hard.
It's visual and audio. So, there you go.
I have
there
custom soundtracks.
Yeah,
that's
free. But the custom soundtracks don't affect the visuals.
Oh, snap.
You just got owned.
You know what? I could unplug one of my cables on my composite, and it'll take out blue.
Man.
Snap.
Yeah, you could keep arguing. You could keep arguing all day if you want to, but...
Wow, if you really want to get under a skin, watch this. Final Fantasy sucks.
Now, why are you just picking on him now?
You know something?
I was kidding.
Coming from you, that doesn't even faze me.
That's
man.
Water under the bridge, buddy.
That's long downstream.
See, if you want to get under his skin, you have to actually play the games that he likes to make fun of him.
I played Final Fantasy.
When you were 12? It doesn't count.
Why doesn't that count? I played it in my lifespan.
Because you don't know what a good game is when you're 12. Come on, literally, how many games do you go back to now and you're like, oh my god, this game was great. If you play it today, you're like, wow, this is asshole. Come on, yeah. I liked Total Recall when I was a kid, okay?
Oh, God.
Seriously, because you know what? I didn't know any
that.
Better.
What?
When I was 12.
You liked Total Recall?
I would have punched
hey,
you.
Hey, I got
that.
A confession to make.
Oh, back, God, back, you're moist again?
Back in the day, I actually liked the Predator video game.
See? Back then, games were a lot better than they are now. You just didn't realize it.
Right. My opinion's
like, Mega
not going to change.
You know, you played Mega Man, you're like, this is awesome. You play Total Recall, you're like, hey, it's all right. You know, but then you get older, you're like, God, that was fucking terrible.
Yep. We I never were, liked it then. I won't like them now. So why should I play it?
We were gullible and impressionable back then.
Well, don't know. I have to. I can just watch it and know.
Hey, you know what? I don't like Final Fantasy either, but I love 7. That was a great game.
Yeah, 7 was awesome.
I don't like Final Fantasy either, but I love Mystic Quest.
I just don't like it.
Crickets chirping.
Crickets chirp
in the wind.
See, that's where we need the sound effects button again.
But yeah, I was playing some Luminous. I like the game.
Oots, oots, oots.
Every time you say Luminous, is that what it's followed up with?
Exactly. It's got to be.
And lastly, I picked up Virtual Tennis 5.
I saw you playing it. It's actually 3.
Yes. I stand corrected.
Did you go into the future?
No. You see.
I went to 2012 to play Virtual Tennis 5.
If you went to 2012 just to play Virtual Tennis 5, I would make fun of you.
Yeah.
You didn't play anything else that was out, you know? Resistance 2. Yeah.
Final Fantasy 13, yeah. Having just launched.
Yes, it did. It just came out when I visited... 2012, it did. It just
Alan Wake having just launched.
And you know something?
Too human.
And you know something? Final Fantasy 13, mediocre reviews.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a really big disappointment.
You went to the wrong future.
Yeah, I must have went. Yeah.
When I went in the future to 2012, I saw a pretty bitchin' preview for Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, I heard somebody had hands on time.
Yeah, I heard the code was actually playable.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you know what the Xbox Live Arcade game of the week was? Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Oh, nice. Snap. That's a good one. But, yeah, Virtual Tennis 3. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I picked that up. It's pretty good. It's tennis, you know?
No shit.
You hit a ball.
Hope it wasn't soccer.
You hit a ball, and someone else hits the ball back, and...
Sounds like movies I've seen.
Concept really hasn't changed since Pong.
Yeah, it's pretty much Pong.
You know, if you were getting a tennis game, and you're not really into, like, the real tennis thing, I'm surprised you didn't pick up Sega Superstar Tennis, because that's the same concept, but with, like, goofy characters and fan service.
See, I probably will pick that game up, because I did eye that game a few times.
It's fun. I mean, it's Virtua Tennis... For dummies. It's a real simplified version. It's fan service. It's got all the different Sega levels. And I mean, you can play as Alex Kidd. Seriously,
that's awesome.
What other game besides Alex Kidd can you play as Alex Kidd?
Thing is, though...
Was there an Alex Kidd 2?
I don't remember. Electric Boogaloo?
Virtual Tennis 3 is very arcadey. As a matter of fact, I played it at Dave & Buster's a couple years ago when I was out on a date... And,
what?
Yeah. Yes, I was, I
brown
dated.
Chicken, brown cow.
I dated a girl a couple years ago,
because
yes.
You know Virtual Tennis is known to get girls moist.
It's the hookup.
Oh, my God.
I've been really trying, baby. Oh, Virtual Tennis.
But, yeah, Virtual Tennis 3 is,
Virtual Tennis players get all...
It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. Yeah,
somebody's gonna coin that phrase.
You realize that probably several desperate people just ran out to buy a copy of Virtua Tennis.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, baby, look
what
I
baby,
got!
Hey, baby, look what I got! Look at my Virtua Tennis.
It's got Roger Federer in it.
Look at my fuzzy yellow balls.
Wow!
There's that line crossed. You went.
Yeah.
So what else you fondling this week besides fuzzy balls?
That's it.
Sweet. What are you looking forward to playing this week? Now that Metal Gear is
completed. Let me see here. I might pick up Etrian Odyssey 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Man, there
Electric
it is again. Boogaloo. It's all over the place.
It's never going.
You can't stop it.
You can't stop this train.
And I'm also
don't need no credit card to ride this train.
Yeah.
Sorry, Huey in the News.
I'm also looking forward to Civilization.
Revolution?
Yeah.
That's not until July 7th, I think.
Yeah, so it's got a couple weeks before it comes out. And then I'm also really looking forward to, of course, Final Fantasy IV, the remake for DS, which is... Final Fantasy IV is my third favorite Final Fantasy.
What are 1 and 2 again?
First one is my favorite Final Fantasy of all time is 6, followed by 7, followed by 4.
But you lost a lot of clout in the RPG community naming 7, though. I'll just tell you that. I noticed that they don't want to like that one for some reason.
But at the same time,
that's why they hate me.
I think the reason why a lot of people don't like Seven is because it's the game, the popular one, most people cosplay to.
I don't understand why that would cause them not to like it. I think it's like he said, that because it's what made the franchise like mainstream.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the cosplay thing, seriously, if that's what you're going to get upset about, have you seen some of the cosplays they do? I have to look up what character it is, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea.
Some feminine-looking guy dressed in black with long hair.
That's pretty much like every Final Fantasy, isn't it?
Well, it's about the last half of the Final Fantasies.
I guess the first ones weren't like that.
The first several Final Fantasies, like the main male characters, were actually kind of masculine.
Right.
You know, so they kind of...
What?
Yeah.
A masculine character in an RPG?
The thing is, a
main masculine character?
Final Fantasy IV. It's different because the main character, Cecil, he's... Yeah. That's a funny name. I'll give you that.
Is the main character a 75-year-old checkers-playing man?
Yes.
Hey, at least it's turn-based.
It's true.
Checkers is turn-based.
Well, he is... he's the... In the game, he's referred to as the Dark Knight. And...
Yeah, that's because they know if they call him Cecil, nobody would be afraid of him.
Yeah. Well, anyway...
All hail the Dark Knight Cecil!
He's basically an elite bad guy. Works for the kingdom, you know. And basically, in the beginning of the game, you actually kill some people, and he takes this crystal.
Of life?
It's not the crystal of life. It's some kind of elemental crystal, but
does he have a sword?
What's that?
Does he have a sword?
Destiny. Yeah, he has a sword.
That's
the
key of destiny.
Oh, it's the key of destiny.
The key of destiny.
But anyway, basically the main character, he's a bad guy. He's an elitist villain, almost.
It's kind of like that Johnny Cash song, The Boy Named Sue. With a name like Cecil, you got to be a bad ass.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he is. But
life ain't easy for a boy named Cecil.
But that's pretty much my future fondling.
Sweet nectar.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to Killer World. Are you asleep?
I was.
Yeah,
no wonder he doesn't talk.
Talking about Final Fantasy and put Wolverine to sleep, huh?
I just give you shit.
Yeah, I know.
You're good people. Speaking of good people, Odin brought back his shit list.
Yeah, you two
are number one and two.
And it caused a huge...
Wait a minute.
I was number six. Maybe he's got a new one up since the last time I looked.
I know you were number one.
I wasn't even on his new shit list. You have to go further into the post. That's his first one at the beginning.
I didn't look through all of it.
No,
okay.
At the end is where his new one is. I'm not even on it.
And it caused a whole shitstorm worth of
stuff. Everybody got upset. But you know what? I'm not on it.
No, one person got upset.
I don't feel loved anymore.
That's what I told him. I said I'm going to have to try harder to get to the top of the shit list.
Well, you know what I've always said?
I must say.
Well, here's what I've always said. Hatred is a special kind of love.
Words and wisdom from Gambus Khan.
Well, we're completely off about your fondling.
Yes, fondling is also a special kind of love.
It is. Indeed.
Nothing really exciting.
You play Commandos 3?
I play Commandos, which is probably the most exciting. I love the game. I love it. It's harder than...
Something.
Crap.
Harder than F.
Harder than the F-bomb.
Did you play it three-player?
Two-player.
You see, you need to wait for me, and then we could play it three-player.
Well, come on, boy. Get on.
Is it three max?
Three max.
Yeah, there's only three characters.
Oh, yeah, duh.
It's a fun little game to play. It's hard. The enemies just swarm on you.
Well, it's old school, and Killer Wolverine was like, he emailed me while he was doing his review, and it was so funny because I don't think he's had to play like an old school, like whoop your ass game in a while. Yeah. You get three lives to beat the game.
Right.
No continues, nothing.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yes. So if you die like in level 4 out of the 5 levels,
you're done.
You hit the A button to continue. You're like, oh, I get to continue at this level. No, you're back at the start screen.
You're back at the beginning. You don't unlock level select until you beat the game once. Yep.
Really?
Yep. It is.
It's hard.
So did you have to combine your powers to beat the game?
Well, when you play online, even if you're playing three players, you share lives.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
So it's a little easier to play through it single player than it is multiplayer, because then you're not, unless you're playing with somebody who's really good.
Yeah.
Because then otherwise you're sharing lives, and if your partner sucks, then you just screwed. You're going to be running around by yourself with no lives left.
Yep.
It is, man, totally old school. If you can play through it, you can blast through it in about a half hour, 45 minutes, if you can get through it. Because there's only 5 levels.
Well, there's a lot of other little stuff you can do. There's 2 secret areas per level.
All the prisoners of war you got to unleash.
And some of them are in the secret areas. And they're not easy to find, the secret
areas. No, not at all.
There's like little things that you have to look for in the environment on the side. Like in the first level, there's like a little red flower you got to blow up, and it opens up the area. So they're kind of hard to find, difficult to look for. So,
but it is totally old school.
It's
whoop
awesome.
Your ass.
It's very Akari Warriors.
Yes,
like
very Akari Warriors.
They need to make a new Akari Warriors.
It's very Commando.
Oh snap!
Maybe because it's the third one.
Right. Yeah.
Second one was called Mercs. Oh, trivia's in your ass.
I don't know. I'm up in the air. I haven't really made a decision if I like the weapons. Like, you just switch them and don't really upgrade them that much.
Well, you upgrade them once per level.
Right.
If you find the POW
right.
thing, which if you're playing multiplayer, there's only one. So whoever gets it first gets it.
Well, I just don't know if I like just having the one gun or having multiple. I think I like the one gun. It's simple. You don't have to worry about switching in the heat of battle, because it does get
the heat of battle.
I think it's pretty heated.
Yeah, but if you pick up the rocket launcher, you're screwed.
Well, I was reading
or the flamethrower.
Online.
I don't like the flamethrower either.
If you play it online, they said it best recommended one of you all have the rocket, and one of them have like a machine gun.
The machine gun's fun. I love the flamethrower, though, even though like when I'm using it, you can't see anything in front of you, because I'm just plastering the walls with.
Well, when you hog all the freaking upgrades, the flame's like the size of the screen.
I like it for destroying vehicles and stuff, but not for people.
I like my M-bomb.
Yeah.
My M-strike or whatever.
Yeah.
Just blows up everything on the screen.
Sweet.
It's the bomb. I don't use grenades that much. Except
I don't
when I'm blowing up a wall.
Right.
Yeah.
I use grenades all the time. I like
it. I use them if there's like a collection of folk that I need to...
Collection of folk?
that I need to folk. Annihilate.
Sweet.
I had a lot of fun playing that. I'm going to go back and try to find all the hostages in the secret areas. Now, can you... When you unlock level select, can you go back and just play one level?
No, you have to do all the achievements
in
one
sitting. So you can't back out after you... Ah, shit. Well,
nope.
There goes my idea. Oh, well. Oh, well.
That would make it too easy for you new school gamers.
I got the 24 times multiplier. I got like 4 achievements just in the 20 minutes that I played
it. Yeah, those
today.
First 4 are easy.
Yeah.
After that, you got to beat the game for all the rest of them.
Yeah.
In one sitting.
So.
Excellent.
But I dig it.
Yeah.
I could dig it.
It's fun.
It's good. I like it.
It's a good little time waster.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. It's like Salt Heroes. Without the buggies.
Yeah.
Without Das Buggy.
So,
well, it does have one buggy.
Well,
in the first level. I imagine there's probably more.
There's that one.
And the tank. That's it.
That's
gotcha.
It.
Yeah.
So can you continue in Assault Heroes?
I would not have beaten that had you not been able to continue.
Yeah, there's
that's
a
like
lot
a 2-hour
of levels
game.
In Assault Heroes. So, yeah, you can continue in Assault Heroes.
Because I still need to pick up the second one.
It's good.
Second one's a bomb.
Oddly enough, I reviewed that one, too.
Yes, you did review that one, too.
You're like the king of Xbox Live Arcade reviews.
That's my thing, and when I can buy them. So, and speaking of, I played more pool, Bangshot Billiards. Just cuz.
Pool. Just cuz.
Just cuz.
That was a good game.
Yeah.
Just
I was trying to get... Well, not... No, shut up. God damn it.
Viva la Revolution!
I like playing pool.
Yeah.
In real life.
I like playing Final Fantasy in real life.
Yeah.
I hit somebody and I'm like, you gotta wait your turn!
I just did 256 damage on you!
Anybody got any Phoenix
have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that video online of the live-action Final Fantasy thing?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
I saw, like, there's, like, several different ones by different people.
Yeah.
And they're all funny.
Yeah.
Some of them are better done than others. But, yeah, I watched some of them on YouTube, and, oh, man, they're hilarious.
So what else you fondle in there, pool man?
Well, I was off track. I can't remember now.
You're like, whoa.
You got to bring it back around.
It's a podcast about video games, and right now we're talking about the video games
Where
that we have played this week.
Welcome to the jungle. You're going to die.
Welcome to the jungle.
Let's see. I got my ass kicked in Street Fighter 2.
Yes, you did get your ass kicked in Street Fighter.
Sure
he
did.
Just out of randomness said, let's play Street Fighter 2. I'm like, eh,
on what, online?
Yeah, on Xbox
in the
Live.
Arcade.
You know, I still have yet to download that. I don't know whether to get that or to wait for the HD.
Dude, HD's never coming out.
Yeah.
No, it. Hopefully with the beta, it'll be not too much longer on HD.
So is the online good?
Yeah, it's all right. It's okay. I played a ton of matches online,
yeah, there's
and
no
I haven't had any. I haven't had any trouble. The only trouble I had with it, and I think they fixed it now, is people online with E-Honda being ridiculously cheap.
No,
they haven't fixed it.
That's my only win against
him. He's like, let me look at him. Try this E-Honda thing. I'm like,
the whole time, all the way across the screen.
My last match against him.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
That's the way he had to get a win.
Nice.
Well, I didn't want to get a win that way. I wasn't proud of it. I just wanted to try and see if it worked. And apparently
you were desperate. You were on your last limb, and you had to pick E-Honda.
I'll tell you what, though. When you play it single player, it's true to the arcade original, and that Guile is the cheapest motherfucker on the planet. I'll tell you that right now.
Guile.
Cheap as shit.
Yep.
Cheap as shit.
Okay.
Sonic Boom, Flash Kick. Sonic Boom, Flash Kick. Flash Kick. Flash Kick.
I'm always amazed in those old school games that the computer can do those moves so
fast.
You don't even have to charge his Flash Kick.
Right.
When the computer does it, it just goes, hello!
All you gotta do is jump, and that's his charge for the Flash Kick.
Yeah, that's all it takes. He just bends down and says, I'm like, why can't I do that? That's bullshit.
No kidding, that is.
Blanca does the same thing with the roll across the screen. Yeah, he doesn't charge it either.
What else did you fondle?
Sega Superstar Tennis.
Yeah!
Sweet. I beat all the monkey ball levels. Started on the Jet Set level.
I need to get that
Jet
game.
Jet Set Radio.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it. Probably won't play any more of it this week, though.
Except in this game, it's Jet Grind Radio.
I need to break out Jet Set Radio.
Jet Set Radio Future?
Yeah.
For the Xbox.
I've still got it at the house. It's backwards compatible, isn't it?
I don't know. I do not know.
It's a good game.
I actually got the Dreamcast version.
Yeah?
I do, too.
Yeah, I don't know where it is. It's probably in a box somewhere, but I have it.
Nice. Jet Set Radio! What else are you playing? All right. Way
to
go.
Sweet.
So we move on to the Wombat Trip.
What's up?
What's up, Wombat Trip?
Nada. It's been kind of a weird week for me, or weird 2 weeks for me, gaming-wise, because all the gaming time that I've had have been in very short spurts, like a couple hours at a time. So, unlike the rest of the folks in the room, I really haven't played a lot of Metal Gear, because it's not really a game that you can play in an hour and a half spurt, just because of the way the game is. But what I've played of it, I'm not even through Act 1 yet, if that tells you anything. But what I've played of it, I love it. It's awesome. Like I said, usually I'm the first guy to complain about cutscenes, but the cutscenes in it, so far, they are, some of them are a little long for my taste, but, like I said, having played the other games in the series, it wasn't anything that I wasn't expecting. And also, the cutscenes are so well done, and the transition between cutscene and gameplay is so smooth that it doesn't really bother me. But as far as gameplay goes, it's awesome.
So where exactly are you in the game?
I was telling Zero outside that I just got to the cutscene where Meryl and her team walk into the little parking garage or whatever, and the frogs come out and they all do that little like one shot kill kind of thing where they all move together or whatever.
In unison, yeah.
Right.
The nano
machines. That's what I just got to. I haven't watched that cutscene yet because I ended up having to leave, but that's the cutscene I had just got to.
But you got to the part where they're being attacked by
frogs.
The frogs.
Right.
Yeah.
The frogs.
That part is freaking awesome.
Yeah. I like, and you know what I really like about it actually is, and this is something that I was actually hesitant about before the game came out. I really like, the fact that there's, you know, that not only have they, you know, done a good job of sticking with the whole sneaking thing from the first three, but they really did a good job on the third-person shooter controls.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that was, I was a little hesitant about that because the, I mean, the, honestly, the shooting controls in Metal Gear have always been a little eh.
Yeah.
So, especially when things get a little frantic. So, I was very pleased to see that the shooting controls in this one are definitely hands down the best in the series. Hands down.
Don't you like how you can actually play the game stealthy or straight up action?
Absolutely.
And both ways actually feels pretty well done.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I don't know. There's a lot of little things that I like about this one quite a bit more than two, especially. I still, like I said, I haven't played enough of it yet to give my final verdict on it yet. I have to wait until I get all the way through it. So I can't say yet that it's my favorite one in the series, but by the end of it, we'll see where I stack up.
Yeah,
so,
one of the interesting things about that game is that the game is basically five acts.
Right.
Each act plays differently, has different vibe, and looks differently. So it's got a lot of variety mixed in. So that'll be something for you to look forward to when you go through the game.
Yeah, today is my Metal Gear day, so I'm going to try and pound through some of it tonight when I get home.
Oh, yeah.
Act 4 for the win.
Act 4 for the win, huh?
Act 4 for the win.
So
yeah, Act 4 is really sweet.
But I will say that, you know, I actually, having not liked the end of 2, I went into this game guardedly optimistic, and I'm definitely impressed so far.
I'll put it to you this way. Toward the end of the game, it's a lot better than 2 ever was.
Really?
Well, yeah,
that's good.
It's no craziness flipping out on you.
That's the other thing, is that the cutscenes are actually, like you said earlier, they're actually understandable in this one so far.
They don't
change. Opposed to, you know, the whole... It seemed like in 2 to me that there was a lot of confusing, you know, an interesting, complicated storyline with cramming as much confusing stuff in as they possibly could. Like, they confused confusing and complicated a lot. And this one so far seems to be a lot more straightforward.
Yeah.
So, but definitely, I'm definitely digging it so far. The only complaint that I have up to this point is the whole constant fart joke. Like with Akiba,
yeah.
Like I don't know. It's just not hitting with me. So I'm sure that in the grand scheme of the game, that's very minor. But I'm not big on the constant fart joke.
I laugh. I can't help it when he farts. I laugh. I'm such a child.
So, but other than that, I love it so far.
Thing is, though, I think by the end of the game.
Yeah, that's what
you'll be a fan of. Akiba.
Yeah, that's what Zero was kind of telling me. So right now I can't stand him. So I'm hoping that that clears itself up by the end of the game. So.
Oh, just a quick thing. Nobody has mentioned this yet to this point, but how much did you smile when she was introduced? Has she introduced the team to you yet?
Yeah, and the guy had
the
exclamation point.
The exclamation point that made the noise.
Yeah.
Like, ding!
Yeah,
that was awesome.
That.
I was just like, yes.
I did like that. So far Metal Gear is amazing. I'm definitely not disappointed, and it's a little better than I expected it to be.
That's always good.
Yeah.
It doesn't get anything but better.
Yeah.
And then also this week I played for review, which I hope to have shortly, hopefully beginning of the week. Don King's Prize Fighter.
Only in America.
Only in America.
Only in America.
And, I mean, if you go into this game looking for another fight night, you're going to be incredibly disappointed.
Ouch!
Because fight night was, the in-the-ring boxing was fantastic. No game really before that had done as good a job at the strategy of boxing and, bobbing and weaving when you have to, blocking when you have to, counterpunching, punches feeling like they had varying degrees of damage. And most importantly, the fact that every punch in Fight Night, and this is still, it's amazing to me to this day if you go back and play round 3, every punch in Fight Night felt like it hurt a ton. Like, it felt like it had a ton of impact. And it's just not there in Prize Fighter. It's very... there's not a whole lot of strategy to it. The dodge is basically worthless, because even when you're dodging, you can get hit, because the hit detection is awful. You'll throw a punch that looks like it should hit somebody in the chest, and they throw their chin back like they got hit in the mouth. None of the punches, I'd say probably 85% of the time, the punches don't even look like they connected. The person you're hitting will show like they're damaged, so you know it connected. But in terms of actual fist on the jaw, it never, very, very rarely does it happen. So that, I mean, it's disappointing. And it's not analog stick control like Fight Night. It's sort of button mashy. So there's some stuff that I like about the gameplay. The signature punches work well. The career mode is fantastic. And actually the career mode, is so kind of addicting in terms of pressing forward that it, makes you actually want to play the game even though it's not very good. So like yesterday I played the game for probably 45 minutes even though it's not very good, just because I wanted to keep pushing the career. But
it'd be a lesson to you kids.
What's that?
I don't know, just let it be a lesson
to you. Just let it be a lesson to you.
Do I have to bring up something?
So, but I mean, it's an average game. Nothing more, nothing less. The career mode's great. The gameplay's kind of lame. If you really, really like boxing games, you might get into it, but it's probably a rental at best. And I should have full review up early
this
in the week.
This week!
I also played Commando, Wolf of the Battlefield. And it's awesome. There's not much else to say about it that hasn't already been said. And also, yesterday, I was going to play Metal Gear most of the day yesterday, because I had probably 3 or 4 hours. And I sat down, and I was going to eat some Apple Jacks for breakfast.
Sweet.
So I grabbed some Apple Jacks, and I'm like, well, you know, I don't really want to be eating Apple Jacks while I'm trying to play Metal Gear, because I'm going to need the controller. I'm like, I want to play something that I can kind of just play one-handed, so I'm like, I'll play the Civilization demo, because I hadn't really played it yet. And I ended up spending an hour playing demo for Civilization, because it's amazing.
I've heard nothing but great things. I'm going to be reviewing it in July. I'm totally excited to play it.
So, I like I said, an hour just on the demo, and it's awesome. I love it. So, I'm definitely looking forward. That's a game that wasn't even on my radar until the demo came out. So, that's a perfect example of why developers need to push to get demos out, because I never would have picked up Civilization if it wasn't for the demo. And now I'll definitely be buying it. So I played that quite a bit. And then also, for the PSP, because it was on sale this week,
PSP.
I picked up a game that I've been looking forward to playing for a long time and just never got around to buying any of them, Monster Hunter 2. And it's really good.
Like
it's different than just about any other game out there.
It's
got a Phantasy Star kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
They drop you in a set map that has different areas that you cross into. You would actually, Zero, I think you would like it.
I hated the PS2 one.
Did you really? I know you like Phantasy Star, and it really does remind
like
me of Phantasy Star. I also like the fact that there's a lot of strategy to it, especially when you get to bigger monsters. There's a lot of strategy in terms of where you hit them, when you hit them with different items, making sure that you trap them when you can. It's really a lot deeper than it seems to be at first. So I'm digging that.
It's not hack and slash.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I'm digging that. But other than that, I think I played some Ninja Gaiden 2. Some more Ninja Gaiden 2, but not very much. So probably not enough to, you know, make it worth mentioning, other than to say that I played it.
Sweet!
So, I think that's pretty much it. And as far as future fondling goes, it's Metal Gear.
Metal Gear!
And then,
Colonel!
Some more Monster Hunter.
There you go.
Sweet! We need to get some Monster Hunter gameplay going on.
Indeed.
We need to get
some multiplayer going on, period.
Yeah. We haven't really played anything multiplayer lately.
No. You want to play some Metal Gear Online?
No. Oh, that's the one thing I will mention. I'm not really a big fan of Metal Gear Online.
No. It was funny. I just posted my review for Metal Gear. It was 15 or 16 paragraphs long. I gave it a 10 out of 10.
Of course you did.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, I read the review.
I spent 15, 16 paragraphs. I gave one to the online.
Yeah.
I mean, and half of that paragraph was talking about how atrocious the online, like, name-getting registration was. Because it's still the same.
Right.
It's still the same as it was in the beta, and it's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, so there's no, I mean, it can be the greatest game of all time, and if the online integration is crappy, it definitely takes it down a point.
The thing about Solid 4 is that, seriously, even without that multiplayer, this is still, I still would have given it a 10, because the multiplayer is just, I almost gave it a 9.9 because of the multiplayer. I had to bring it down a point because you made me play this.
Another interesting aspect about Metal Gear Solid 4 is its replayability. Because I got the strategy guide for the game.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I got the strategy guide because for games that I'm really looking forward to and that I'm a fan of, I will buy strategy guides for. I did not use the strategy guide to play the game.
Right.
But after I beat it, I was looking through it, you know, and I looked through the extras, like extra things that you can get. And there is a ton of extra things that you can't even get on your first playthrough.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of stuff in that game.
Yeah, I mean, some of the items you probably won't even get for till probably about the third or fourth playthrough, if that. So, I mean, that alone has a lot of replayability. And of course, I also meant to ask you, did you side with the, when you was playing MGS4, did you side with the Rebel Army?
You have to side with the Rebel Army. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't side with the PMCs.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah, you can't side with the PMCs.
Yeah, once I found the Rebel costume or whatever, I pretty much wore that for the rest of the level to keep them from leaving me.
You see, I didn't find it because,
I have it, but I never used it. I was such good friends with them for killing the PMCs that it didn't matter.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I didn't even find the Rebel outfit. Because I was just playing through the game by the seat of my pants, you know. I guess, I found some pretty cool stuff on my own, you know, like iPod music and stuff like that.
Which the iPod is so convoluted, I hate it.
Yeah.
Because you have to equip it to listen to it.
Well, and two, I mean, I'm not going to listen to that stuff when I'm playing the game. No. So, but yeah, once I found that outfit, I wore it the whole time. And so anytime they would see me, it was funny because anytime they would see me, it would automatically do the little tongue thing with the exclamation point, and then they would go, "Oh, never mind, it's you." And like, "Oh, there you are. Where were you?"
Yeah, it kind of startles you when you're playing it. So
I sided with them, but I didn't really. I tried to avoid killing as many people as I could, so I kind of snuck around through most of the first level until you get to the part with the mortars, when you have to launch the mortars to blow up that tank or whatever. When you really can't avoid killing people, then I started just railing people.
Yeah, there's so many great moments in that game. It's
definitely,
it's absurd, man.
So far, it's definitely awesome.
Action-wise, the second act, I believe, is better than the first.
Really?
I love the second act.
Well, the second act, I think, is more, I thought it was more low-key in terms of intensity.
It's low-key in terms of intensity, but the level itself
is awesome.
Is so much more built for
For Metal Gear.
It's a completely different type of environment, because in the first act, you're in the Middle East.
Right.
And you're hearing explosions and gunfire the whole time.
Right.
In Act 2, you're in a jungle setting, and it's kind of quiet for the most part, and you hear, like, bugs chirping.
Right.
Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah, it's like Metal Gear Solid 3, but with graphics that look like freaking Crysis.
Right.
You know?
I don't know if I go that far.
Well, maybe not that far, but I would say the graphics come kind of close from a pure visual standpoint. Even though Crysis is a lot more, you know, you got a lot more physic integration.
Yeah. The one thing I will say for the graphics in Metal Gear is that some of the environmental textures, if you look at them too close, are kind of bland. But the character models are ridiculous.
When they show their faces
ridiculous.
Up close in the cutscenes, I like Jesus.
That's like I was saying, the transition between cutscene and the actual gameplay, when it first starts and it kicks you into that big cutscene, and then it just like comes straight out of the cutscene into gameplay, it was just blows your mind because the character models are ridiculous. ridiculously good.
Yeah, where the camera pans around Snake when he's wearing the hood, and then you see the gauges appear on the screen, and you're like, what? I can move now? And I'm like, holy crap, it's playable.
Yeah.
You know? It just,
they do that a lot.
My favorite one, actually, so far, is when the frogs first show up, and you guys are all, like, standing outside the door or whatever, waiting to go in. And they all go in, and it shows Snake, and he's just kind of looking forward, and then it just kind of comes in on his face and zooms out behind him, and it's just ready to go.
I love that sequence in Act 1 where you fight the frogs.
Yeah.
That was a really good sequence.
Anyways.
Good times.
Good times.
Putting Killer Wolverine to sleep.
Yeah. he's got these little Z letters
he does.
Coming out of his head, just like in Metal Gear.
Hey!
All right, so I guess I get to go in my fondling. I'll start off with some of the smaller stuff. I did play, I got a chance to play the DS version of Guitar Hero on tour this week, and I have to say that I was the most skeptical about this.
Yeah.
Being a huge fan of Guitar Hero, thinking to myself, playing this portably on the DS, first off, I think sound's going to suck. And it actually sounds like CD quality. It's pretty good. Getting accustomed to the strap, the hand strap with the four buttons takes a little getting used to.
Yeah.
And then it's weird because you strum on the touch screen on the right side when you're holding it, and the notes coming across on the left side, and everything that you strum is on, it's touch sensitive, so your star power is like right here, so you just tap it for star power, and then it has a whammy bar.
Nice.
It has a whammy bar, which is the weirdest thing in the world. But
that is pretty weird.
I have to say that, wow. It works, and it's good. And I played it on Expert, and I actually beat a song on Expert on this little handheld Guitar Hero. So if you're a fan of Guitar Hero, you have a DS, and you want to play this on the go, you're going to look like an ass.
Right.
Because you're going to have your headphones on, you're going to be sitting there tapping on the touchscreen, but it's fun. It's surprising how well it works.
Hmm.
So definitely look forward to that. I also played the two new arcade games, Sea Life Safari.
And how was that?
Dude, it's called Sea Life Safari. I can only guess.
If you took Pokemon Snap, you put it underwater.
Dude, all you got to do is start out there.
You put it underwater.
You get a very wet Pikachu.
That's about it.
Really?
You just float through the water and take pictures, and they grade your pictures, and then... All I know is there's an achievement called Take a Picture of Captain Lobster.
Captain Lobster?
Not Captain.
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 Like Captain Crunch? Captain Lobster. Captain. Or something like that, yeah.
Hmm.
So it's... I guess if you want to relax and take pictures of... It's... Okay, here's the best part about the game.
Okay.
When you take the pictures, like, it's documenting the sea life. But you can throw things at them to get their attention. And if you throw things at them, they'll give these goofy faces, like real goofy, like, animated faces, like cartoon face. And I was just doing that, taking pictures. Like, literally. I would try to hit them with it. So I would, like, poof, and hit them in the face. They'd be like, ooh! And I'd take a picture of it. It was awesome.
Nice.
So basically, it's a time waster.
Yeah, there's not really a game there. They just grade you on your pictures.
Hmm.
That's really all it is. Now, the other game I played might be one of the coolest things that nobody ever thought of. It's called Elements of Destruction. Basically, in this game, you're like a mad scientist. And it has a view kind of like a real-time strategy game.
Okay.
And you start off and you're just this little glowing ball. Basically, you go around the level. In the first level that I played, you have three elements. You have a tornado, an earthquake, and a lightning. And basically, you just destroy the shit out of whatever's in there. And it gives you different things to destroy, like destroy four barns, destroy this. And like when you do the earthquake, you tap the A button to make it stronger. And then when it's going, it just blows shit up. And then when you get the tornado, you can actually steer the tornado around and destroy shit.
That sounds pretty cool.
You need to play the demo. Like, it is freaking cool.
Hmm.
Now that game, that's a serious, that's totally Killer Wolverine's game right there.
Yeah, you could take out a whole lot of stress on that.
You basically just
float
around.
You tap the X button with the earthquake, it goes wild.
Yeah, it goes crazy. It, like, starts throwing stuff. And then if you tap the A button while the tornado's running, you can throw objects.
No, nice. You tap the X button. Is the A X? Button makes you go underground.
Oh, that's right. Dig into the ground and, like, cut holes into the grass and stuff.
Nice.
Oh, it's violent. I'm hoping there's cows later in the game so I can throw them around inside the tornado.
That was one of the best parts of Populous. We talked about Populous on the last podcast I was on. That was one of the best parts.
And that was also one of the best parts of the movie Twister.
Oh, I wasn't talking about the cow throwing thing, but you're right. I was talking about just destroying cities.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what this game is you go around and you have, like, different areas where you can recharge yourself, and then once you start destroying so much stuff, like, the army comes after you and tries to stop you, and they throw bombs at you and stuff, but it's...
I did like, in terms of throwing animals, the best part of Black and White was picking up sheep and throwing them into the ocean.
Yeah.
Really?
You could take your little hand, and you pick up a sheep, and throw it, and you go, meh, and go flying across the screen and into the ocean.
You could throw people, too.
Yeah, you could throw people, and then you could save them out of the water.
Hmm.
Black and White was kind of cool.
It was different, that's
Anyways,
for sure.
Thank you for 2001 fondling.
Well, welcome.
Yeah.
The two big games that I played this week were, I got Grid for review. It's good. I mean, it's good, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to think about. It's hard for me to judge it because I haven't played a lot of it, but the career mode is awesome. The career mode is really awesome because you get to choose your name and all that stuff, and then you get to choose your nickname. Well, they didn't have my name as my nickname.
Nice.
So I made them call me Spanky. So
Spanky.
Like when I'm driving. I love how when you're racing, it gives you like the updates
right.
on the race. Like you're driving, it's like, hey, Spanky. Your car's kind of buffed up, but it's nothing too mad to worry about. He'll tell you when there's other wrecks on the track, which is awesome. The flashback feature is cool. I do have to say the flashback feature is cool, because there are several times I needed that, where I would come around a corner, take it wrong, and just slam my car into something. And you just go back to replay, and then you watch the replay, and then wherever you want to restart, you just hit the X button, and you'll restart there. So that's really cool. It's hard as shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm playing on, what is it, the beginner level, and I'm losing races in, like, the first few races because it's just so hard. I've managed to get my enough money and respect to get a team going. You get to name your team, and then you can hire drivers for you, and then, like, you can race together as a team in the races. And the amount of different kind of cars and stuff that you can race is actually really good because you can race, like, drift-style Japanese cars. You can race... real fancy, fast, like Lamborghinis and Porsches in the kind of stock car racing. And the tracks are also, the graphics are beautiful. The control is a little loose in some areas. I noticed that this is like really the first game where, in a while, where there were different cars. Like when I was driving the Mustang, it felt a lot different than driving the Lamborghini. Whereas sometimes it's a subtle difference, but between these two, it was huge.
Yeah.
Like, the Mustang would take corners and slide, and the back end would slide out from underneath it, and it felt like it was closer to the ground. Whereas when I drove the Lamborghini, it felt like I was going to, like, take off, like I was going to fly, because it's so light, and it just flies across the road.
Yeah.
But if you like racing games, you really like Grid. I mean, it is really good. The other game I picked up this week I've been wanting to play for a while was The Bourne Conspiracy. And I like the game. I really do. I've heard it's short. I've played it like three different sittings. I still haven't beat it yet. The one thing that stands out about this game, we've all played the demo. We know the fighting is pretty much, you know, you punch, punch, block, all that stuff. I did finally play the driving level, and I drove to the city. As long as that level is, once you get used to it, it's not so bad. Once you get used to the driving, it's not so bad. Especially when you get the adrenaline, you can hit the Y button and it just slows down. You can maneuver between the traffic in slow motion. But the one thing this game does right, the reason people will like it, you feel like a badass when you play this game. Like, just the little different things you get, like the takedowns make you feel badass. Because there's so many different takedowns. There's like a million of them. I swear to God, I can be in a fight, and he will do so many different things, like slam the guy into the wall, hit him into the fire extinguisher, pick up a knife and slice him, or, you know, just slam his head into a glass window.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many different ways to take your enemies down. And then when you're shooting, when you get later in the game and you do, the adrenaline meter fills up and you do the multiple takedowns, and the little button presses and stuff. I mean, it just, the game makes you feel badass like he is in the movies or in the books and stuff. And I think that's really what it does well. The shooting is generic. The fighting is generic. The graphics aren't the greatest. The story's pretty much predictable if you've seen the movies. It is nice that it fills in the gaps in between him losing his memory and all that stuff. It does take you back to before the first movie. It follows more along the lines of the book. It flashes back to the different stuff he did before. So, but I really like it. I mean, it's fun. So, And it has the achievement tracker thing that I love so much.
Nice.
So you go in the options menu, it'll tell you how many headshots you have.
Grid has that too.
Yeah, Grid has it. Grid's awesome. Like its little achievement menu. That's the other thing. Grid's menu system is just like Dirt's. It's so neat how it's laid out. And like while it's loading, it'll tell you how much you are closer to the achievement.
That's so awesome.
But I love being able to track my achievements. It's retarded, I know, but I really enjoy it. Played Commando 3 like everybody else. Wolf of the Battlefield. It's the bomb. Another game I got to play this week was Hail to the Chimp. Which is a weird little game. I would,
Which system did you play it on?
PS3.
PS3.
It's kind of like a party game, beat 'em up. And that part of it is kind of, it's neat, but it's not like groundbreaking. What is the big draw of this is the comedy. Like the comedy in the game is hilarious because it's each animal is running for like office. And the party games are for you to collect clams, which are basically votes. And the more clams you have, the more votes you get. But the campaign videos that these animals run are absolutely hilarious. There's quite a few of them in the demo. Like you can watch a few of them, and they are just hilarious. And like the menu screen is a news broadcast. Like you see start game, multiplayer, and the guy's talking. He's like, "Welcome to Hail to the Chimp. Today's blah blah blah." He's going through the whole thing, and like if you hit a different mode, it switches to another. He's like, "Now let's go over to this guy for this," and it brings another menu. And this other guy's talking. And he's like the weather guy. He's like, "As you can see over here, blah blah blah." I mean, it's just the presentation is excellent. It's so well presented. But the game itself feels like it could get boring. I mean, I have to see if there's different like game types and stuff. I only played one game type, which is basically you're running around this level, beating the hell out of the other characters trying to take clams. And the person to hold the most clams for the longest time wins the vote. And then afterwards, it shows a poll to see who had the most clams.
Nice.
And it gives you a rundown. It's like, blah, 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 I got this many votes. Blah, 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 I got this many votes. But it's the comedy that really brings you into the game. And that's what will draw you into it. I'll have to wait and see if the final game has enough diversity to keep you playing. But so far, I dig it. I think that's it.
I see Street Fighter and Fatal Fury.
Yeah, we already talked about playing Street Fighter, and we played Fatal Fury, too.
Oh, really? On Xbox?
Yeah, Xbox Live.
Sweet. How'd that go?
Fatal Fury? It was fun.
Yeah.
It's Fatal Fury.
We spent more time making fun of the characters than we did actually, like, playing.
Kind of like Guilty Gear?
Like Guilty Gear and Samurai Showdown.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many funny characters.
Yeah.
Like the fat guy that slaps his butt before each match. The old man, like, squeegees his head. Squeegee. I mean, that's literally what we did most of the time. We would just pick characters. Or the guy that breakdances, the Duck King.
Yeah, King is awesome.
He's like breakdancing and stuff. No, Fatal Fury's good. It didn't lag at all. Like, we didn't have any lag problems at all, so. And it's fun. It's only 400 points.
If you ever feel like you need to humble yourself, play Fatal Fury on Xbox Live by yourself on the single player.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah, I bought the Fatal Fury Collection number 1 for PS2.
Yeah.
It's got, like, the first three Fatal Furies on it, and yes,
it's hard.
They are very, very difficult.
But as far as future filing, I'm looking to go back through Metal Gear and do a bunch of the secret stuff. Oh, the other thing I checked out that was really cool was, have you downloaded the Metal Gear Solid database?
No.
For the PlayStation 3? That thing is awesome.
The database?
It's entirely free, and basically what it is it's a complete wrap of everything that's ever happened. It's like a glossary. You can go through and read the characters, see how they relate to other characters. It's incredible. It's like 77 megs.
Does it spoil anything from the fourth one?
This is the cool thing about it. If you download it, it will check your game save and see how much of Metal Gear Solid 4 you've played and only tell you that information.
Oh, wow.
So how do I go about
it? It's on the PlayStation Store, isn't it?
It's on the PlayStation Store.
It's on the it must be brand new, because I think the last time I was in the store was like 4 days ago.
Yeah, it just was it this week? I think it was this week, this past week. And you just download it, and basically you can go through, you can look at the timeline as to when everything happened. You can look at the character list, you can look at item list, and all kinds of stuff. And what's cool is while you're reading it, there will be blue highlighted items.
Uh-huh.
Those you can hit, and it'll take you to that. So you can read about that. So
awesome.
I mean, it is really big.
I'm going to have to download that.
Yeah, and then it'll check your Metal Gear Solid 4 save, see how much of it'll look for a completed save. And if it finds it, it'll unlock everything. And you can physically tell it to unlock or lock Metal Gear Solid 4 spoilers. So it won't show you anything that you don't already know.
Hmm.
So, but if you want to catch up on the game and figure out what all... I mean, it's going to be fun just going through it and looking at everything, because there's so much stuff in there. It's huge. So...
That's pretty cool.
But definitely download. It's free.
I mean, yeah.
Right, yeah. There's no point not downloading it.
But this, other than that, I'm trying to think what else I'm going to play this week. Probably play some... I'll try to finish up Bourne. Maybe play some more Grid. It's just catch-up time. There's not much coming out for a while.
Catch-up time?
Catch-up time? I like catch-up. Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Look forward to playing that. And some more Guitar Hero DS.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I was about to say sweet, but I said that like 50 times already this podcast. So
now,
awesome.
We're gonna go into news, and I have a special thing about news this week.
Uh oh.
We're introducing a new section on the website that we'll talk about during news.
Right now, on which website? N4G or on
ZTGD?
Nice.
So it's time for the news.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents News Quickies, brought to you by Don King, who would like to remind you that only in America can you be like a phoenix and rise from the ashes. But ask not for whom the bell tolls, for it tolls for thee. And you know what? I've got four other pages of this, and I don't understand a single fucking word of it, so why don't we just go ahead and pass it on to Zero?
Well, there you go.
Ah, words of wisdom.
As we were talking about in news earlier, we have a new section. It's called the Weekly Roundup, until we come up with a better name, that Mr. Killer Wolverine writes.
Nice.
So basically, he goes through the week.
I read that.
Yeah. He collects up all the rumors in the news from the week, and then he puts a little spin on them himself, which we'll be going over that in our new segment. But first, starting off with regular news... as we just mentioned, the Metal Gear Solid database is now on the PlayStation Network. So you can download that for free.
Free!
Along with that, the PlayStation 3 firmware 2.36 is out. And hey, it doesn't have in-game XMB. In fact, it doesn't have shit.
Really?
It just stabilizes a couple of older titles.
It's basically just a file update?
Pretty much.
Nice.
EA announces a new Need for Speed. As if we didn't expect this.
Right.
It's called Undercover, and apparently it's going to be completely different than the last one.
Weren't the last couple of them different?
They've always been a little different. What EA has done since they changed over their new kind of thing is they've split the Need for Speed team into two, so now each team has 2 years to make the game, and that'll start next year. The guys that made that are making Undercover only had 16 months to work on this one, so next time they'll have 24 months for each Need for Speed game. So maybe we'll start getting that series back to some quality.
Right.
So. We talked about last week Itagaki leaving... Tecmo and suing them. Well, apparently every employee of Tecmo is now suing the president.
What?
There is a giant lawsuit where every employee of Tecmo is suing the company, the president itself. So basically this means Tecmo is screwed. In other
words,
suing for unpaid wages and a whole bunch of other stuff. Unpaid bonuses.
Really?
Yeah.
So Tecmo is on
looking
the
rough.
Rocks. Itagaki was just the snowball that started the avalanche.
So he just might take most of the company with him and start his own company.
Well, yeah, that's one possible option. The other possible option is that the lawsuits weaken the price of Tecmo stock so much that somebody else, perhaps Microsoft, snaps them up cheaply
and buys those IPs.
And institutes Itagaki as the head of a new
Microsoft-owned
Tecmo.
Whoa.
So then, essence, Microsoft would own Ninja Gaiden, Dead or Alive, Rygar,
right.
Tecmo Bowl, Monster Rancher. All of these titles would go under one belt. And that's not just Microsoft that could do that.
Right. Anybody could do
Sony
that.
Could
Sony
do
could
it.
Do that.
Nintendo could do it. I mean, it's...
So in other words, Itagaki...
Itagaki.
And doing this, you know, the, sort of like a insurrection of the company, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
He could almost, with his influence, take over the company himself.
Depending on how it works out, yeah, it's probable or it's possible.
Dude, that's like ingenious, man. That's like a genius at work. If it comes to that, if that's how it goes down, that's like a genius plan.
All right, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. The next thing up is Guitar Hero 4 has been confirmed to have a touch-sensitive neck on the guitar, so you can do freestyle solos.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't know if I like the look of the new guitar. I mean,
the sunburst?
Yeah, the sunburst look. I've never been a fan of the sunburst look on a guitar.
I like it on a Les Paul. I don't know that I like it on the... Strat looking thing, or a Telecaster. It looks good on a Telecaster too.
Yeah, I just but I'm kind of interested how the mechanic is going to work, because they've been talking about this new mechanic for Guitar Hero for a long time, so we'll just have to wait and see how it pans out.
Yeah.
All right, now we move on to Killer Wolverine's weekly roundup that he came up with this week. He's finding funny things on the floor. His first news story was according to the PR rep for Nintendo that they're going to announce several titles that core gamers will be interested in.
Core gamers?
Around the time of E3. Core gamers, of course, would be the hardcores. And could this be new Star Fox? Animal Crossing? Pikmin? Maybe Zelda? Another Zelda already? I wouldn't put it past them.
Compelling protagonist?
I'd tell you a way that they could make Zelda fresh again. Realistic modern setting. Like a futuristic Zelda.
There you go. Link, yeah. I have a gun instead of a bow and arrow?
Well, yeah. Maybe a limited gun.
Could have a badass Link with short, spiky blonde hair.
Yeah.
A trench coat.
Yeah. A green trench coat.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right, next up, and this one shocks me. Forza Motorsport 3 is going to be shipped on 2 discs.
This is still rumored at this point,
This is still
right?
rumor.
Right.
Yeah, this is a rumor, sorry. Offer 400 cars, 100 tracks, and nearly limitless customization for tuning and artwork. New cars and tracks will be released every month. A 10-pack of cars is rumored to cost $4.99, and every 3 months a real-world track for $4.99. A racing game with 2 discs, Killer Wolverine says, hopefully the second disc will be a making of or special features. Otherwise, how would you play a racing game with 2 discs?
Ask Gran Turismo 2.
That's true. It did have 2 discs.
Well, they'll probably, if they do it like that, they did arcade and sim on 2 different discs. So I'm wondering if they'll do career and multiplayer.
That could be it, yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Split the game between single player and multiplayer.
But what is different between single player and multiplayer that requires another disc?
Nah,
you know?
I don't know.
I mean, all the cars are going to be on.
I still don't think they'll make it 2 discs.
Well, we'll see. If they do, I think it's going to be a huge mistake and another fanboy propaganda for Blu-ray.
Sounds like they're trying to outdo
GT.
Yeah, GT.
Oh, well. We'll have to wait and see. The next rumor up is that Microsoft is going to be replacing its 20-gig 360 model with a 60-gig 360 model at E3. Obviously, it'll be nice to have 60 gigs instead of 20, because 20 is kind of small.
Yeah,
but once
is.
Again, this puts another skew out there that we have no idea what the hell's going on.
Right.
I'm confused as to skews now.
Skews.
Skew confused.
Nice.
We have some more Microsoft rumors. E3's right around the corner. We've been talking about the Mii's, the Mii ripoffs.
Yeah.
Apparently there was a picture of the Microsoft ones, and they look like real little people. You can customize their clothes, their face, their style, so that it fits you, and it's going to replace your gamer picture.
Hmm. So I wonder if how much these are going to cost is my question.
I heard they were free. Because it's going to replace your gamer picture.
Right, but the gamer pictures weren't free.
No, so. But you can get them for free.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you always can get one. My guess is you could make these and you could buy little outfits for them.
Yeah.
This is like home.
And, yeah, probably.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if like promotional outfits like
right.
like a Halo t-shirt.
Right, yeah, I imagine like that. Yeah. I mean, that stuff you're going to see just like home.
Or
promotional
Master
stuff.
Chief helmet.
And one,
that'd be sweet.
And once again, just like home, it's one of those things where people are going to get sick of it after a couple
so
weeks.
Big. All right, next rumor, Tony Hawk using a motion sensing balance board. See, I don't buy this rumor for the simple fact that Neversoft said they weren't going to do a Tony Hawk this year. So they were taking a break from it to rework the franchise.
Maybe that's their way of reworking the franchise.
And the Tony Hawk series is such a precision-driven game.
This would be the Wii version. No, because the Wii could use the balance
board. Yeah,
this
no,
for
it's
for PS3.
All of them, I think. Yeah.
Don't know about that.
Yeah.
Don't know about that. Tony Hawk's always been like the fighting game of extreme sports games for me,
right.
And it doesn't need to change. I'm sorry. I mean, I know it's getting old and they need to do something, but this is not what they need to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And then the last Microsoft rumor, well, it's not really a rumor because they kind of announced it was a new Zenit, which is disappointing to me because why are you going to make me buy a new disc version when you promised me loads of DLC?
True.
And you know what? They could call the sequel Saw It.
Actually, it's Zenit Pop Culture Edition.
Oh.
Which, hopefully, I don't have to buy it again. I can just download the questions.
Oh,
yeah, that'd be nice.
You'll probably have to buy it.
Because I have seen it already, so buying another one is stupid.
Yeah, you'll probably have to buy
unless it. I can buy the disc. If I don't have to buy the controllers again, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if I have to buy the controllers and the disc, no, I'm not going to do it. Next up, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. This is rumor. To feature 20 playable characters and have the ability to fuse two characters together to have one hybrid character.
Huh, that's
kind of
weird.
It will also follow the recent Civil War storyline. This sounds like a fanboy dream for Marvel fans. I don't see why they wouldn't do it.
I'm looking forward to a game that's based on Civil War. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
But idea of fusing two characters together?
Yeah, that's a little weird. But
maybe they could make the Marvel versus DC, where they did the fusing characters.
Yeah.
They created the different, like, Wolverine and Batman fused together.
Hmm.
Or the Hulk and Superman fused together.
It'd be a deadly combination.
Deadly
combination.
This one made me laugh. There are rumored 14 Spider-Man titles in development.
Yeah, you should. I mean, with them having the Spider-Man license, as soon as the movie stopped, you had to know that they were just going to start pounding out Spider-Man games.
We already know about Web of Shadows. But the most likely title to see the light of day is Spider-Man versus the Marvel Zombies. It's reported that the story takes place in an open city, free-swinging environment, war-torn Earth, 2149. Spider-Man's an old motherfucker in this one.
Yeah.
Peter Parker's like 100, ain't he? 150? Shit.
Older than that.
Damn. Would he live forever? I don't know, but if there are 14 rumored Spider-Man titles in development, here's the thing.
Three of them will be good.
Yeah.
Somebody put up the dam. Because the floods are coming.
Yeah.
Seriously. That shit needs to stop.
Yeah.
I like Spider-Man and all, but damn. Seriously.
There were a lot of Spider-Man games before the movie started, too, though.
But 14?
No, not 14 at the same time. But, I mean, there was, you know, Maximum Carnage, Separation Anxiety.
Why don't they just make
it was
Spider-Man
Spider-Man
console.
And the X-Men.
Just make the Spider console.
I'd buy it.
We'll call it the Webcast.
The Webcast.
I'd buy it.
I know you would. All right. Transformers 2. The game. It's coming.
Oh.
Maybe.
Sweet.
Can't
wait.
And it's online.
Dun, dun, dun.
So you can online.
See, that'd be cool if you could have Autobots versus Decepticons in a multiplayer deathmatch game.
Not if it played like the last one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would have to improve the gameplay, obviously.
It'd be very cumbersome.
Yeah. But I think the idea of having Transformer battles, it would be awesome.
You can dream.
Yeah, I could dream all day.
More Microsoft rumors. Microsoft is making a SingStar-style game. Karaoke for the 360. It's called Lips.
Lips.
That name makes me laugh. It includes 30 songs, 2 wireless microphones, and the ability to use and sing your own music or download songs from an online service.
Hmm.
It will test singing as far as pitch, rhythm, and tune, and your overall performance. The 2 wireless mics are interactive with lights on the shaft. Nice. Nice wording. Lights on the shaft that pulse to the rhythm of your voice. So when you go...
So it's a pulsing shaft.
It's a pulsing shaft. And motion sensors that allow you to dance, move, or swing to score points. So you can waggle your shaft around while it pulses.
I was about ready to say, Killer Wolverine, you'll actually get to score some points for swinging your pulsing shaft around.
You can use your own music. So you can take songs from your CD or your iPod and upload them into the game. The game will reduce the vocal so you can sing along and be heard and score you on whether you're in tune, which I don't know how the hell they're going to do that.
Yeah, that seems a little...
They tried that with the Xbox Music Mixer, and that shit didn't work.
Oh, God.
Lyrics can also be added directly into the song so you can sing along. You can download hundreds of new songs with music videos, and the lyrics are available for a small fee.
Hmm.
If you want more flexible playing with the Wii, well, that dream may come true. Wii Yoga might make an appearance this year.
Yoga flame.
You can boost your energy, flexibility, and improve your well-being.
Seriously, Nintendo, just stop it.
Yes, I need to reach spiritual
enlightenment. Seriously, do you think they're going to after the sales of Wii Fit?
No.
They're not going to stop.
Just stop.
No. Call of Duty World at War. Box art was revealed. Yeah. And the most interesting aspect... The 5 has been removed.
Dun, dun, dun.
Could you say Big Red 1?
I was about ready to say that.
Uh-oh.
Big Red 1?
We just had Big Red 1
Big
and
Red
Pulsing one. Swinging Shaft in the same little section.
All right.
Yeah.
This is my kind of podcast. What's up?
I bet it is.
Yeah. According to Kotaku.
Kotaku!
Heavenly Sword 2 has been canned due to the fact that it no longer seems commercially viable. You're no longer economically viable.
Oh, you know, it could be.
Because the first one wasn't very good? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, snap.
I'm kidding.
Oh. First one was good. It was just short.
It was good. It was just short.
I was about to say maybe the second one got canned because they couldn't think of 5 more hours worth of gameplay.
That's probably it.
Sweet. Swords and enemies. Swords and enemies. Oh, fish lady. Wait, we already did that. All right. Godfather 2 is on its way.
Where's Andy Serkis when you need him?
Godfather 2 is on its way.
Sweet.
Sometime this fall.
The Godfather.
It's going to be a sequel that you can't refuse.
I just want to let you know that my game's coming out in the fall.
I'm waiting for you to buy it. All right, so that wraps up Killer Wolverine's news story. If you have comments about it, make sure you post them. Make sure you give him suggestions and ideas. And if you want to send his stuff out, send him some emails and say, hey, you need to post this story because you are Tay Awesome Sauce. And then next week he will be back for the week roundup. And if you have a better name for this, because you know we're real generic, we're not good with names, come up with a good name for this thing, and we'll use it, and we'll give you credit. But apparently Mr. Game was Khan's over there waving his hand around like Horshack.
Yeah.
Mr. Kata!
Oh, Mr.
Kata!
Mr. Kata!
So apparently you have a news story?
Yeah, I got a news story.
All right, let's hear it.
This is basically aimed at the RPG gaming audience. Yeah.
As Killer Wolverine rubs his nose in frustration.
Yes.
Hey, didn't your thing shock you yet? You haven't talked in a while.
It's true. I mean, we just did a whole segment about his impressions, and he didn't talk through the entire thing.
Way to go.
I try.
All right, what's your news story, RPG?
RPG. RPG fans rejoice because
Gambus Khan is on a LARP tour.
Yeah. LARP tour.
Oh, man. Anyways.
RPG fans rejoice because Dragon Quest 4, 5, and 6 are coming out for the Nintendo DS over the next year.
Nice.
And what's cool about it is Dragon Quest 4 was released in limited quantities, so not too many people played it when it came out. But Dragon Quest 5 and Dragon Quest 6 never made it over here.
Nice.
And supposedly...
Now, are they three separate games that are releasing?
They're three separate games, and they've been remade into three-dimensional games.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so the graphics and sound have been improved, like, dramatically over the original versions. And the creator of Dragon Quest, he said that his personal favorite is Part 5. So I'll be looking forward to Dragon Quest 5, which will probably be out either Christmas or sometime
early next year.
Early next year. So yeah, RPG fans, yeah, you'll get your Dragon Quest on DS.
Rejoice!
Yes, rejoice! The time is near.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus.
Man, I'm back.
Hating.
I know. I can't help it. They bore me. Anyway, Wombat, we have a question for you from last week. You were not here to answer
it. I was not here to answer it.
Comes from Dahilo Fiend. He said, "Hey, Wombat, if you develop Power Stone 3, what features would you want to add, and what four characters would be exclusive to 360, PS3, and Wii?"
Wow, that's a good question. Definitely online multiplayer is the big one. As long as that's in, I'm pretty much cool with anything else. I'd love for it to have huge levels. Big cast of characters would be nice. As far as exclusive characters go, man, that's kind of tough. I just want Mega Man in it, number one. It's a Capcom
Welcome
game.
To Adventure War.
Mega Man's got to be in there somewhere. I guess if you want, we'll do one exclusive character for each. Maybe we could have a Power Stone-ified version of Dante from Devil May Cry, exclusive to the PS3.
Hmm.
We could throw, I don't want to say Mario, because Mario's overdone. Maybe throw Link in on the Wii, that'd be kind of cool. Maybe the Wii gets, I don't want to do that either. We'll throw Link in. And
I was going to say Balloon Fighters.
As far as that, that's a good one.
As far as
Microsoft goes,
if you say Master Chief,
no, I was not going to say. I was not going to say Master Chief. I don't know. I'm running a little dry on Microsoft.
How about this?
In terms of Power Stone,
one of the pinatas from Viva Pinata.
No,
so that when he gets beat up, he busts into a bunch of candy.
You could have
one of the dudes from Crackdown. That would be fucking sweet.
Yeah, that's
one of the dudes. They have no names.
They have no names.
They're just a
one
bunch of dudes.
One of
that
the dudes.
Mexican looking guy. The Indian.
So I don't know. Maybe.
What is this? The village people?
Maybe one of the robots from Lost Planet.
What?
There
are no character faces from Microsoft except for fucking Master Chief, is there?
Yeah.
You know who I'd put in it? It'd be Voodoo Vince. Yeah.
Voodoo Vince.
Yes.
Blinks.
Blinks,
no. No, there's no, like, weird animal characters in Power Stone. It's all, like,
you can put a Forza car.
Forza car, that'd be awesome.
So there you go. There's my shitty list.
There you go. All right. Next question comes from, how do you say this? Kyle Zen?
Kyle Zen?
Something?
KZ.
All right, we'll call you KZ. Hey, guys, I've been listening to the show for a long time, and I love it.
Thank you.
It's real laid back. Reminds me of my friends and I as we chat about games. So you guys are crazy, too.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Are you ready?
So you guys are funny and extraordinarily handsome as well.
That's why this is a podcast, not a video podcast. Hello. I read an article on Kotaku about the use of realistic color schemes in games now. It had me wondering, will developers ultimately give up making good games with more than gray and brown color schemes? And the real question Do you guys like the new drab, realistic color schemes like GTA 4 or Assassin's Creed, or old, bright color schemes like Final Fantasy X, Sonic, and Mario? Which do you prefer?
I like both. It depends on the game, and if bright colors go with the subject matter, I like it. Tell you the truth, I do like... I must admit that I'm a bright colors person.
Says the guy wearing the orange shirt.
We know what you're going to pick.
Oh, God. Oh.
It's all black an option.
It's all black an option. I don't want to paint my fingernails.
It's all black.
I like the more realistic tone.
See? Told you.
Because realistic is all black. If you're
realistic is more darkness.
Like, I agree, though. It depends on the game.
Yeah.
Banjo wouldn't work as a realistic color setting.
That would be creepy to play that game.
Or Sonic. Well, Shadow the Hedgehog was...
Let's never talk about Shadow the Hedgehog again.
That game was horrible.
So was Sonic the Hedgehog.
If I ever saw like a mascot walking around, like a guy walking around in a Shadow costume, I would probably punch him in his giant spiked head.
Sweet. That is awesome.
They put that on YouTube.
So what about you?
For the most part, I agree with Gambus. It depends on the game. Like, some games just don't fit with the bright colors. But oddly enough, in the HD era, quote unquote, I actually find myself more impressed by games with incredibly bright, vivid colors than I am by the more realistic looking games. Like, games like Call of Duty look more realistic now in the HD era.
Yeah.
But bright colors and crisp lines and everything look so much more impressive now than they ever have before.
Yeah,
so that's why games like Banjo and even Little Big Planet to an extent, Cameo, games like that with really bright colors are very impressive to me anymore.
Yeah.
See, I'm a
color standout.
I'm a bright color guy. I really like the bright color things. Like with Crackdown, it made it so much more visually appealing to me than like Grand Theft Auto that just looked like a city.
Right.
You know, Grand Theft Auto looked good. But Crackdown stood out more because it was more artistic flair.
Yeah.
So, and I think I like them more. I do like the gritty look sometimes. Like Gears of War, I think that's a beautiful example of grays and browns. Metal Gear Solid's another.
Yeah, Metal Gear does the
great job.
Yeah,
of
really
realistic.
Good.
But I think it stands out more when it's more like bright lit colors. You know, like I couldn't see Mega Man.
No.
Like a dark and gritty underworld.
Oh, that's a good idea for a game.
Mega Man Dark and Gritty?
Mega Man Down and Dirty. It depends on what gameplay approach they do.
Right.
His second post, he just asked more questions because the thread was running dry.
Nice.
So KZ's first two posts are questioned to us. Is anyone excited for Two Human?
Oh.
It's pretty much the reason why I got a 360, and now I'm missing out on MGS4 and a PS3 because I'm jobless. So is anybody pumped about it?
I am.
Two Human's probably my most anticipated game right now, to be honest with you.
Over Force? Really?
Yeah. At this point, yeah. I mean, I'm really, really, really looking forward to Force Unleashed, but Two Human is closer, and I've been waiting for this game for forever, and I'm a huge Silicon Knights junkie. Blood Omen's my favorite game of all time, so Two Human has me very, very pumped.
I have to agree with Wombat. Two Human is probably my most anticipated game for the rest of the year as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That shocks me among all things. I mean, I'm excited about Two Human. Don't get me wrong. I think it looks good. But with games like Resistance 2, Gears 2, Force Unleashed, Mercenaries 2, I can't really call it my most anticipated game.
I'm definitely anticipating Two Human more than Gears 2.
Well, it's because you don't like Gears.
Right.
Thing is, tell you the truth, my most anticipated game for this year was Metal Gear Solid 4.
Right.
So
Since
it's already out and I completed it, now my second most anticipated game has moved up to my most anticipated game for the rest of the year.
I noticed nobody mentioned Fable 2 in their most anticipated game.
I'm looking forward to that too, but
in 2009,
maybe
late 2009.
It actually, I think it falls probably to number 3 for the rest of the year.
You excited
no,
about
I don't know.
Human?
Yeah, but I'm not like anticipating it.
Looking forward to whooping some.
I'm sort of trying to
Norse ass.
I got other stuff I want to play. I mean, if I get it when in August, hopefully I'll have a job by then. If not, I'll have to wait until I get a job. And my game I'm going to buy is Gears. That's the one I'm
interested in. Gears is until November, though.
I know. I got all these months to hype it up and get excited.
So that's what you, instead of playing other games, you're just going to hype up?
Like I said, I might not have a job by then.
He's just going to rock in his chair, holding a copy of Gears 1.
He doesn't even own that.
If I have a job by August, I will pick that up because I want to play it. But
I actually, it just, like, to me, it graphically, it looks a little underwhelming at this point. But number one, it's Silicon Knights. Number two, the story is incredibly interesting to me. And number three, I love hack and slash dungeon crawler loot leveling games.
Yes.
I love Baldur's Gate. I loved Champions of Norrath. I just love games. I'm a sucker for Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I'm a sucker for games like that. So I'm Diablo 2. I'm really, really, really pumped for Two Human.
I am still disappointed that it's only two player co-op.
Yes.
I am
definitely
disappointed about that.
Definitely.
All right. His second question is, Gambus, why the hell do you hate Final Fantasy VIII? Just messing with you. But seriously, what is it that you didn't like about Final Fantasy VIII? Anything specific?
Okay. Final Fantasy okay. VIII is probably my least favorite Final Fantasy game. And it's one of those games that I really wanted to like it. I will say this, though. In my opinion, Final Fantasy VIII has probably one of the best soundtracks of all the Final Fantasies. Basically, in my opinion, 7, 8, and 12 are the best soundtracks, in my opinion, of the Final Fantasy games. So it's got a really good soundtrack, and I'll give it that. And also, like, some of the story elements are pretty cool. You know, story about rivaling military universities at war with each other, being controlled by a evil sorceress from the future. It's kind of an interesting concept, even though it's kind of convoluted. But my problem I have with the game is the actual gameplay mechanic. It's got probably the longest loading battles ever in an RPG. I mean, it's literally, you're waiting like almost 15 seconds to start your battle almost. And then once you start the battle, I don't like how you need to steal magic spells from enemies. I did not like that. Couldn't get used to it. Thought it sucked from the get-go, and I thought it sucked, you know, overall. Another thing I did not like about it is the more you went through the game, the more your weaponry became less emphasized and how it relied more and more and more on summoning spells, which took another 20, 25, 30 seconds in order to do, and you could not skip the animations for the summoning spells. So basically, every battle scene, you'd have to wait like 20, about 15 seconds for the battle to load up, and then you'd have to wait another 25 to 30 seconds to do a summoning spell, because by toward the end of the game, summoning spells are pretty much the only thing that can easily take out an enemy party. So the game just became extremely slow, clunky, was not fast, it was not streamlined at all. I wanted to like the game, but I just couldn't. I actually made it very close to the end of the game, and I just could not finish it.
When are RPGs ever fast?
Dragon Quest is fast.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Mass Effect was fast.
Yeah, well, I don't consider Mass Effect a traditional RPG, though. That's the ones I can play.
But
I didn't know Dragon Quest.
Skies of Arcadia was definitely not fast.
Dragon Quest games really fast, because basically when you get into an enemy fight, the screen would just flash for a little bit, and the enemies would just appear right there, and your option menu for like fighting or magic or whatnot automatically appears instantaneously, and as soon as you'd basically issue out the commands would be issued. And then next thing you know, you're already being asked to do the next issuing command. So the Dragon Quest games, the battle system is extremely fast because it's a simplistic layout.
Okay.
I got you.
That was the one thing that always frustrated me about Skies, was how slow the battles load.
Yeah.
Like, it's random battles, so you'd run into somebody and you'd be like, shoo, and then like all the screen would change and it would play this little music and take forever to get you into the actual battle.
You'd have like the camera like
panning around
the party and the enemies. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on. This next question has an interesting little twist to it. says, this comes from the Halo Fiend again. He says, thanks for answering my question on the recent podcast. And now, here is a tough one with a twist. Gambus must read the first question this time, and Zero can't answer or have an opinion. So you have to read this first question right here.
I have to read it?
I'm the only one that can't answer that. You guys have to answer that. I'm not allowed to answer that.
If Zero were ever to star in any movie, what movie would it be? I'll start with
Pinocchio
from Shrek.
So I'm not allowed to have an opinion about
this. They think you'd be a good Pinocchio from Shrek.
I see. So now you guys have to answer. And I'm not allowed to have an opinion.
So if you would star in any movie...
So I guess this is sort of like look-alike thread. Or a look-alike question?
I don't know.
Maybe a look-alike.
I'm not allowed to have an opinion.
Maybe a look-alike or act-alike.
There you go.
I don't know. Let me see. Well,
you're staring at me like I'm dinner. Don't do that.
Ugh. That's the... I don't know.
It's a tough
question. Probably a situational comedy.
Situational comedy.
I don't know what specific movie, but I kind of see a situational comedy.
Something like, with Kevin Smith.
I was about ready to say, you'd probably be a good Randall from Clerks.
Yeah.
But what?
A good Randall from Clerks.
Randall?
Yeah.
Dude.
Randall was very sarcastic.
That fits. That really fits.
Yeah.
You could be like Randall's rival.
There you go.
There could be scenes where you out-sarcast each other. And it'd be really nuts.
Welcome to Sarcastathon 2008.
Coming to a theater near you.
Pinocchio from Shrek, though. Where did that come from? I have no idea what the hell that's coming from.
No, because he's kind of got a high-pitched voice. I don't...
Do I?
Now you do.
Do I have one? I can't lie, Geppetto.
Geppetto.
All right. The second question is, if each of the crew could control any gaming company for 1 year, what company would you pick? You could control them. I don't know.
I got one.
I wonder what it is.
Yeah, but it's probably not for the same reason why you probably think. Okay.
Is it Squeenix?
It would be Square Enix. And you know what? You know what I would do if I had control of that company?
Destroy Final Fantasy and make my dreams come true.
Jesus Christ. No.
You better be careful. He's going to summon up something here in a minute.
That's all right. I can get away before it comes out. Yeah, it takes 30 seconds to load. I got plenty of time to get out of the way.
That's pretty funny. But here's what I would do. I would say, okay, instead of making freaking 10 Final Fantasy games, everybody, you got to converge as one development team and just make the best damn Final Fantasy game ever. That's your job. And then all these other teams are making all these little games like The World Ends With You and stuff like that. All of you little teams, you're doing the next Chrono Trigger game. So basically, the whole company will be split between Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy.
And seven of you are going to go over here in the corner and make a Bushido Blade for Ryan.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Seven of you?
Yes.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes.
But that's what I would do. I'd be Square Enix, and instead of quantity over quality, I'll turn it back in time like it was in the 90s, where it was quality over quantity.
What about you?
Who makes Crackdown?
Real Time Worlds.
Yeah, I take
it's
them
published
over
by Microsoft.
Well, all right.
I'd you take that over Real Time yeah. Worlds. What are you gonna do with them?
Make your precious Batman game.
No.
Because
oh.
I kind of want
to
play it.
Everybody wants to play that game.
Yeah, I kind of want
to
play that.
I want to play that game.
Everybody wants to play that game.
A Crackdown Batman game. I mean, how cool. That would be awesome.
It would be the best
Batman game ever made.
It was between that and
by
Rare.
By a factor of a million.
I really want to play Killer Instinct.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I promise you.
All right. That's your?
That's my promise. It's coming.
The dream must live on.
Indubitably.
Yeah.
What about you?
Capcom?
I was surprised you didn't take over Silicon Knights and make another Blood Omen.
Well, there's that. But no, I would take over Capcom and make them, number one, get Street Fighter HD out. Number two, make them get out another new Mega Man.
That's coming too.
I know. And number three, I'd make him make a new Mega Man Legends because I love those games.
I would probably assassinate you for that.
You don't like the Legends
games? I don't like Legends.
Man, I love those games.
I didn't like the monkeys.
So and I'd make him. I'd make him make a new Power Stone too.
Well, yeah, all that stuff's coming back now. I'm telling you.
So
it's a renaissance.
So you
renaissance. I'd take over the Mortal Kombat team
and make them not make a game that's gonna suck.
This game is not gonna suck. This game is gonna rule. But I would make them make a whole new Mortal Kombat that is just bloody as hell. Oh yeah, because I mean that's why I played it.
Like an AO rating Mortal Kombat because it's so gory.
I want Armageddon. Here's what I want. I want Armageddon, but I want with two unique fatalities per character, not this bullshit button press stuff. I want two unique fatalities for every character. All, what, 60 of them
right.
that were in Armageddon? So I want 120 fatalities that I'm going to sit and learn. And I'll bring back every stage, every character, everything. And just make the ultimate fan service Mortal Kombat.
There you go.
That sounds like a good idea.
That's what I would do.
Agreed.
All right. His next question. If MGS ever turned into a movie, what actor would you pick to play Snake?
Depends on which Metal Gear.
What do you mean, which Metal Gear?
Depends on whether it's Metal Gear Solid, the first one, or
Metal
if it's
Gear Solid. I mean, that's, yeah.
The Shadow Moses incident.
Okay.
Let's do Metal Gear Solid.
All right.
Who are you going to play? Who's going to play Snake?
David Hayter.
I was about ready to say the same thing.
I would probably go with David Hayter, but here's the thing. It's not going to happen.
Right.
And I think, I read, actually, who they did pick, I think. Pretty sure.
Was Christian Bale. Yeah, I heard that, too. He's got the look for it.
Yeah.
But is he going to do the Batman voice?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, Snake.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Probably.
The gravelly voice, boy.
Gravelly.
But here's the thing.
You rattled his cage.
He's attached to the Terminator.
Right. The Terminator. He's going to be trilogy. Just like every single main character, superhero, everything is going to be Christian Bale from now on.
He's Batman. He's the new John Connor.
He's going to be Solid Snake.
Yeah.
So
he'll probably end up being Superman.
I know.
They'll have Christian Bale playing both Batman and Superman in the Batman-Superman movie.
That's just going to be crazy.
That would be confusing.
They'll have it'll be Christian Bale playing Wolverine. They'll kick Hugh Jackman out.
Next question. If you had to choose one game between the Nintendo era and the Sega era for a next-gen game, what would it be?
Let me see. Between the Nintendo era and the Sega era, so would this be 8-bit or 16?
Go with 16.
16-bit because both of them were at their top form during the 16-bit era. A next-gen game from Nintendo era and...
So is that one from Nintendo and one for Sega, or is that one game, period?
I think you choose one game.
All right.
That you bring into the new...
But does it have to be... A Nintendo exclusive or a Nintendo actually made game?
Nah, just era. Any game from the era, I think we'll go with.
Let me see. Okay, I got one. From the Sega era, I would want a next-gen Valius game.
See me?
I'm getting blank stairs.
Yeah. You're getting obscure.
Mutant League Football.
Mutant League Football.
Mutant League Football from the Genesis. Because everything else has pretty much been done.
Yeah.
Mutant League Football from the Genesis. Bring that back with minefields on the football field. That was awesome.
In that aspect, I kind of want an NBA Jam that actually doesn't suck.
An NBA Jam that actually doesn't
from
suck?
From those era.
Those were good games.
So much fun.
You know, another good one I'd bring back would be Time Killers. As bad as that game was.
Time Killers.
As bad as that game was, it was neat. Cutting off arms and continuing to fight even though your arm was cut off.
Yeah.
I got to go with... A Wii remake of Pilot Wings.
That's a good one.
Failing that, I would say ActRaiser.
Hmm. Yes, I was going to suggest ActRaiser.
There you go.
It's an interesting question.
And I'd also like to see a next generation UN Squadron.
Oh, that was a good game.
Yeah.
That was a good game.
Next question comes from Frustrated Fury. He says he has three questions. Two of them we've already answered, so we're not going to do those.
Dude, I just got to say that I love the... I hope this was sarcasm, because if it was, it was one of the best jokes I've ever seen in my life. The whole, by the way, you only have to answer the first question because I can go back to the past 20 episodes and find out the answer to the other questions. That was very funny.
It's because the other questions were, if you could make any game, what would it be? And then go around the room and describe the person to the left. But his first question is I was talking about how I talked about plugging in headphones to play Metal Gear Solid. I didn't have anything special. I just had a pair of headphones.
Just like a regular.
A nice set of headphones with the foam ear pieces. I mean, nothing special, but it still sounded great. And I definitely recommend it if you can install a surround sound. Next question is going to be fun. Ready for this?
Yes.
Comes from Tweest. He says, this is not meant to spark fanboy controversy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, but it will.
But it will.
My classmates in school and even my teacher were strongly debating who would win in a fight, Spider-Man or Superman. His opinion is, Spidey would win because he can easily inject kryptonite into his bloodstream and have the ability to shoot green kryptonite webbing, thus owning Superman and making him his bitch.
Well, that's an interesting take, but, I mean, how would that interact with his radioactive blood is my only question.
Here's the thing.
You know what?
Superman would just pick him up by his flailing little foot and throw him into a giant building and crush him.
Do you have to get so graphic? Damn.
Well, depending on you don't have to even worry about his bloodstream, because depending on the comic, he has the web shooters. So all he'd have to do is make...
They gave him...
Right, but depends on which era Spider-Man you're talking about. Because if he's just got the web shooters again,
then
all he's
got to
do
capsule.
Is put some... Yeah.
Game over. He can fling Superman by his flailing little foot, throw him through a building, and crush him.
Wait for it, because if you want to go that route where it's always going to be, let's use the kryptonite excuse, Superman has a suit that's protected against kryptonite. So he puts that on, you know what the fuck Spider-Man does then? Gets broke in half. Period.
And,
end of story.
And, this is why I hate Superman.
And on top of that, Superman, if he knew what was, if he knew that Peter Parker had injected himself with kryptonite, he wouldn't even have to get near Spider-Man. He could be like 100 miles away and use his heat vision and try to fry Spider-Man.
Because he knew exactly where he is 100 miles away.
Dude, well, he's Superman.
He's got super vision.
Superman. He's got super vision and super hearing.
See, this is why I hate Superman. Because he does everything good.
Exactly.
Like, that's the thing that sucks about Superman.
So
that's
but you know what? To bring up the who would win between Superman and anybody
and
else.
He could dodge his heat vision because he's got spider sense. He's like, oh, something's coming. Pew! Oh, you missed, pussy.
Nice.
Right.
Solid.
Right.
You know something? I can see that. Yeah, he would be able to.
They'd be
dodge the
Superman would be trying to swing, and Spidey'd be dodging it with his super fast reflexes and his Spidey sense.
But do you forget that Superman also has super speed?
He does. Yeah.
So see, once again,
but
no matter what, Superman sucks.
Spider-Man's fast, but not as fast as Superman.
Superman sucks.
The only person faster than Superman is the Flash. Period. That's it.
Superman sucks.
The thing is,
he does. He really does.
See, y'all hating on Superman.
They're
all jealous
of Superman. I'm good at everything.
If you really think about it, if you see all the Justice League, like the cartoon animated movie, if you see all the Justice Leagues, if you read all the Crisis comic books, like Crisis on Infinite Earths, Infinite Crisis, and all that, one of the reoccurring themes in a lot of DC storylines is that it's actually Flash that saves the day.
Really?
Yes. The Flash is, he's basically secretly almost the most powerful superhero because...
He can do just about anything with his speed.
Does Superman's suit, is it like head-to-toe suit or just normal?
Yeah, it's what he uses to go into space.
Well, it's not head-to-toe then.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
It's almost like a
hazmat suit.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
I mean, it covers his whole body.
So he looks like Iron Man back in the old days?
Except you can see his face.
Well, then how's that his face protected then?
Because it has a glass shield over it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right, never mind. There goes my idea. So, whatever.
So your Spider-Man is dead.
No! Superman is not a killer.
Fuck Superman.
Superman would never kill him, that's right.
Well, thank you.
He would never kill him.
Well, technically, if it's the Superman... Here,
let's not get into technicalities.
Let's not get into that shit.
Yeah.
Forget that shit.
If it's Superman from Earth 2, man, he would kill Spider-Man.
Yeah, blah, 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 and all that extra. We're talking about Spider-Man from the comic, the original Spider-Man and the original Superman. That's it.
It'd be an interesting
fight. None of this alternate universe
I think
shit.
Ultimately, I would think Superman.
Well, they would have to make it dramatic because, you know, Spider-Man would be flipping around and all that stuff. Superman would just fly up and catch him and all that stuff. But, I mean, you could use any technicality for anybody to beat anybody. I mean, I could give you a way Batman could beat any superhero ever made. But
and vice versa.
That's just how it works.
Vice versa, too.
Yeah.
So. But at the same time, Batman, can you really think of a way to beat Batman because he's so... Like, he prepares for everything so much.
Right. You'd have to be one step in front
of
him.
Dude, like,
if Bane can beat Batman, anybody can beat
Batman. That's true.
But he didn't beat him.
He broke his back.
He broke his back.
Which technically put him on the shelf for a little bit.
Yeah, but then he comes right back, which is a common thing with every superhero.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All
right,
we're going to move on.
We're going to move on.
This is going
to
continue.
This is going to have to be the last little segment of questions, isn't it?
Close. First up, this comes from Megadranix. He has six questions. Gambus. This is a follow-up question about
what's
your job.
Up?
About your job as a security guard. Do you know any sort of martial arts? Like, do you know kung fu, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, or karate? If you do, have you ever beaten up anybody at work when it was necessary?
Yes, I have. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I would like to think that I know kung fu.
You would like to think that you do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I watch a lot of movies and have a lot of ideas, but
I can't do it. If you learn kung fu by watching movies, I'd be the fucking master. I'm just putting it out there. As many Jackie Chan, Jet Li movies as I've watched in my life, I'd be the fucking master.
I haven't really taken any martial art classes. I was in one class one time. I think I did pretty well, you know.
Did you whoop somebody's ass?
Yeah, I did.
All right. That's all that matters. Second question is for Boogeyman, so we can't answer it. Third question, ZT. I'm trying to get into writing video game reviews for my local community site. I was wondering what criteria you use to rate and give opinions on games. Other sites do stuff like graphics, gameplay, sound, but it's kind of boring when I read those kind of reviews. Any tips on how to make game reviews an interesting read? I will tell you the exact same thing I tell everybody. When I write a review about a game, I focus on two things. I focus on what stood out exceptionally, everything that impressed me, and I focus on everything that disappointed me, things that really annoyed me. Those are the two things I focus on, because when you play a game like Metal Gear Solid, you're going to focus on the cutscenes being long and drawn out, but you're going to enjoy how good they were. But at the same time, you're going to get pissed off, like Wombat said, about things like the guy pooping, the poop joke.
Right.
So that's really what I do, is I focus on those two things, and I talk about that. I always talk about the visuals because people want to know.
Right.
I always give a wrap-up at the end, and I always give an introduction at the beginning. But the two things I talk about are things that impress me ridiculously and things that really disappointed me. So basically, you go by the pros and cons.
Right.
Which is what we do in our reviews, too. We give a list of pros, we give a list of cons. But that's basically how I do it.
Yeah.
That's how I go about
it. And everybody reviews differently.
Yeah.
So your best bet is to just start writing stuff and see where you fall. Just start writing your opinion on a game. Just don't even think about it in terms of review. Just sit down and write what you think about a game, and your review will take on its own structure.
Yeah. Just imagine you're telling somebody how you would tell somebody about a game, and it will flow so much better than if you just sat there and you go, oh, now I got to talk about the graphics, now I got to talk about this. Don't ever structure yourself. It ends up being bad. So, next one is for Killer Wolverine. Sup, dude? I understand you are studying website design, and now after taking A+, I'm getting an impression that you are a techie guy, or maybe a geek even. So, are you?
Not yet. Getting there. Hoping to be there.
So you're a techie guy, but you might be converted to geekdom.
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, the thing is, I think you're pretty close since you're on this podcast.
That's true.
So we'll
don't read the last one.
I won't.
Okay. All right. Next question goes to the Wombat. Where'd you get the idea of doing the brought to you by segment? Can you do other voices, or maybe depending on the mood of the news, maybe change to a suitable voice?
Yeah, actually, I'm the only person on this podcast. Zero Tolerance, Gambus Khan, Killer Wolverine, they're all just voices that I do to make you guys think there's more than just me on the show. But it's just me sitting by myself in a room. That's me laughing, too. I can throw my voice.
While you're talking?
Yes.
Yeah, you can even interrupt yourself while you're talking in one voice.
That's how cool I am. No, I just... The brought to you by thing, I don't know. I don't even know where it came from. We were just... Before we even did the first podcast, we were just talking about funny stuff, and I was talking about, like, old-timey radio announcers, and it just kind of
came out of there. I can do some other voices to varying degrees of talent. So, but maybe some have popped up on the podcast already. Some will pop up down the line, I'm sure.
We're not going to read the last question until Wombat finishes Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, we are still planning on having an episode where we talk in depth about a lot of Metal Gear Solid 4 stuff. And if you haven't beat it,
I got to finish it first.
Yeah, and then after he finishes that, but we'll make sure to note the timestamps is when you should not listen.
Right.
In case you don't want to know. The next question, God of Time, says, you always are dead serious when you say you will answer every question.
Every question.
That your fans post in this thread. So, what will you give to the person whose question you do not answer? Have you already not answered one question of your listeners? Think hard.
That makes me think that we may have missed a question of his.
If we did miss a question, put it back up to us and we will answer it. If we skipped over it, it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
But what we're going to give you if we didn't answer it is nothing. I mean, we answer them in the order that we find them. And if you go, and sometimes people go back and edit their questions and add stuff to them.
Right.
Or we just happen to miss it. If we did, send us or post it again. We will answer it.
Or PM somebody or something. We'll answer it.
Yeah, we don't care.
We've never intentionally skipped a question. So.
Nope. Never once. All right, this is going to be the last question.
Except for the one we just skipped about Metal Gear, but we'll get back to that.
Yeah, we'll go back to. We always go back. We'll go back to Boogeyman's question next time he's here, too. All right, last question of the day. Hey again, this comes from Lieutenant Renji. Hey again, loved your replies on my last question, and I still, amazingly, think it's a super great show.
Nice.
This week's question is of personal experience. Have you ever been bullied, called names, etc., because you are more than generally interested in gaming? I have sometimes, but I usually take it with a smile and watch them get drunk and stupid. What reactions did you make? Don't stop the show before you reach 1,000 episodes.
Man.
That'd be a long time.
We're going to be old.
Wow. Welcome to the MOG podcast. I just pooped myself. So have you ever been bullied or called names because of your obsession with gaming? You were called Captain Final Fantasy one night. I told you about that.
Captain Final Fantasy?
The guy's making fun of you at the Final Fantasy 12 launch.
Because
you had a backstage pass to Final Fantasy. That's what they said about you.
Yes. Yeah. I guess you could call myself a elitist Final Fantasy fan on that night. Because I was wearing the shirt and everything. But, let me think. Probably the only time I was probably ever made fun of was, well, besides that night, was, I was probably maybe in second or third grade. My own cousin kept on calling me a Nintendo nerd one day. Nintendo nerd, yeah. That's pretty much the only thing, yeah. Because, yeah, I was hardcore playing Nintendo back in those days.
You still a Nintendo nerd?
Not really. I'm more of a Nintendo admirer.
What about you, Killer Wolverine? You ever been made fun of or bullied?
I can't remember. Most of my childhood is locked up. I have no idea.
It's locked up.
It's locked up.
It doesn't help your emo cause.
No, I honestly don't remember much of my childhood, usually indicates that you had a bad childhood, so maybe I was. I don't know.
So basically...
Show me on the doll where he touched you.
Show me on the doll where he touched you.
So basically, he went to the shrink, and he used hypnosis to erase your bad memories.
Show me on the doll where he shrinked you.
Ouch.
my toes.
Your feet, apparently.
Yeah, your feet, no doubt.
Tiny ass.
So feet. I don't know. I could have been made fun of. I blocked it out. I don't remember. So.
Oh, yeah, I got made fun of a lot in school. For being not necessarily for gaming, but just for being
Wombat.
Yeah, I was the
is your shirt inside out?
No, it's not inside out. Don't be looking at my shirt when I'm trying to answer a question.
No, it's not inside out.
Oh, it's got the little
tag on the outside.
That's
cool.
That's hip.
Yeah, sorry.
I wish I was that hip.
Anyway, when I was in school, I was the stereotypical short, skinny guy with glasses. So I grew 3 or 4 inches and gained like 40 pounds after I graduated high school. So I got made fun of a lot, and I lost my glasses. I got made fun of a lot in school for that. And, I mean, the way you took it is the only way to take it. You just laugh it off and realize that the people that are making fun of you now are probably the people who will be
picking up your garbage.
Probably.
Once you get out of school.
You should have kept the glasses because you made them hip because everyone's wearing them now.
I know.
I'm
not
the
these
only glasses.
One in here wearing glasses.
These well, glasses. Well, I mean, in, as a whole.
These glasses weren't hip at all, trust me.
I've seen a picture of him. They weren't hip at all.
No, I know he showed
they were the opposite hip.
You know what? I had the same ones, but like smaller.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't think anybody ever made fun of me for playing video games.
No, yeah, that's. I don't think really anybody.
I think people
knew
made
that
fun of me because I had long pink hair in high school.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Your pink hair always messed with you, man. I was like, man. Look like you got freaking cotton candy for hair, man.
Is there a picture of that? You should put that on your avatar.
Well, my old, I think there is a picture floating around somewhere, but my old, when I first got my driver's license, I literally had long pink hair. And then when I cut it off, I had a hell of a time convincing people that was my driver's license. I really did. Like, it's really me. They're like, this is a woman.
I'm like, this is a pink haired woman.
I'm like, this is an ugly ass woman if it's a woman, but this is me.
Well, if you find it, post it on the internet.
I'm not posting that
on
the internet.
You gotta post it on the internet.
Hell no. Aww. I posted a picture on the internet once and somebody ended up pasting my head on top of a bikini bottom. Okay, seriously. This does not need to happen. My face does not need to be on the internet.
Especially your face is already.
Is that why
on
you took
internet.
The staff page off?
No.
On yours?
Okay. Yeah, we used to have a staff page on ZT with pictures of everybody.
I meant to start working on that again, and we need to do that. Yeah, we need to do that.
I still think we need to do the,
still,
Metal
yeah,
Gear thing.
We still need to do the Metal Gear thing.
Yeah, maybe when we have the full-on Metal Gear
the full
podcast.
On,
I don't know if I'm going to be here for that, because I won't be able to play it.
Spoiler episode. You go get your PS3 back. Why are we having a personal conversation right here?
I don't know. It's like we forgot we were being recorded.
Are you being recorded? Yeah. Well, that pretty much wraps up the show. We still have a few more questions in the thread. Make sure you go fill that up.
Indeed. Do
We are going to... somebody asked the other day about Q Cruise U.
Oh, yeah.
Or Crew Cues U.
There you go. We need to come up
with
some questions.
We need to get some questions out there. So maybe we'll have that for next week. Like I said, any news stories, send them to Mr. Killer Wolverine, and he'll make up a story about him.
Yes, I will make it up.
You will make up a story about him. But we'll give you credit. Make sure you continue to fill up the questions thread, and be sure to tune in next week as we will be back. Are you all right there? Your arm looks like it was discombobulated.
Yeah, he's
getting ready for it. Here it comes.
Getting ready for it.
He's stretching
up
Bagot.
For it. It's time to stretch up for it. You need to give it to me. And no Metal Gear Bagot. That didn't go over too well.
Yeah, that really sucked.
So,
yeah. I missed that. I'm going to have to listen to last week's just
yeah, one. Go for it.
Okay.
Blacktop Payments. Cover me like a chemical reaction or a steam. There's a distant buzz and the frequency. It tickles my ear, rumbles under my feet, and it shakes the leaves off of every tree. Violently, what pretension everlasting peace. Great man.
comforting caress of a mother or a friend you've always known. It had both such pain and significance. What was once is reduced to remembrance, and the generations pass without recompense. Oh,
chickity check, microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2, pump up the jam,
pump it up,
pump it up, pump up the jam, pump it up,
why your feet are pumping,
I'm glad you said that,
get your booty on the floor, make my day,
oh my god,
make my day,
you know what song I heard yesterday on the radio,
what's that?
It's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find. Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe.
Poison.
I like how you sing that.
Poison. 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 It's good stuff, man.
BBD. ABC.
Boys to men. ABC. BBD.
Let's go slamming.
That was awesome. The East Coast Family, actually.
Another bad creation.
Oh, another bad creation. And they were a bad creation.
They were a bad creation of marketing.
Dude, I remember New Jack Swing, when New Jack Swing was all over the place.
You down with OPP?
Yeah, you know me.
There's a lot of rap songs in the 80s full of, you know, acronyms.
Right.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, exactly.
BVDs.
All I know is that I'm naughty by nature, not because I hate you.
Oh, Jesus. Another five-letter word rhyming with cleanest and meanest. Say the last P, stands for property. I just took it back.
All the way back.